Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
All right. Yeah. Woo! Get it on. 866-901-ADAM. That would be the phone number, 866-901-ADAM. Give us a buzz. A little hungover from last night. Had a good time with the Def Frat guy over at the Hooters. Good turnout.
What a rush function, yeah. That
was Dave Damashek did a great job of emceeing. Did pretty much the whole evening's work.
I was worried.
That was work. I like when people tell you what you were doing. Dave, what you were doing last night? That's work. That was work. Work.
We would say you made it look easy, but it looked like work.
It looked like work. Yes, you were yelling and sweating profusely.
Oh, sweet Jesus. You can't blame me. It was 211 degrees.
I know.
There were a couple of times where had the Def Rec I'd been able to hear me, he would have said that I was, he would have heard me say, I was petrified it was going to be another Altamont or something.
I know.
Another Who tragedy.
There was a fire hazard in there,
yes,
for sure.
Yes, the crush of sweaty
humanity.
Frat dudes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was awful.
A lot of dudes. And the thing about those guys, they're guys that don't have much of a heat index or a sweat footprint or something. My buddy, the Wheeze. For instance, I had a first roommate. He was a 130-pound guy. He never got warm. He wore a jean jacket in the middle of summer. He had no sweat index, no footprint. Then there are the big Tads of the world. These guys radiate heat. It's like standing next to a meteor that just hit the earth, you know? You have a whole bunch of those guys in the room. Bunch of fat guys. A lot of mouth breathing going on. A lot of guys chugging beer. And all of a sudden, the sweat index in the room goes through the roof. You know, people don't realize when you pack a bunch of people in the room and they're just spitting out the carbon dioxide, it really heats it up. It gets Vietnam hot almost immediately.
It was
very sweaty.
Thank goodness that Mickey's had a bunch of malt liquor on hand to help curb the heat.
Helped me pop right out of bed this morning. Being stung by the bee, the Mickey's bee.
I prefer the Miller Lite, as I believe they're our sponsor.
Ace,
really?
is Mickey's. They're one.
They're both good. There.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, I didn't know. You know, once in a while, I think Mickey's is owned by Miller or something. But it's one of these things I like to. Keep on the down low. Like once in a while, you find out that some big wine producer also owns the company that makes Night Train. Mm-hmm. But they like to keep it on the DQ. You know what I'm saying?
The brand's separated.
Yeah. That Orville Redenbacher guy, he's just a puppet for Beatrice. But they like to pretend. That's all.
Bids of plenty were handed out, including one to Teresa Strasser, but you refused to come in.
No, I stood up, but it was so packed, nobody could see me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I accepted my bid.
Yes, many bids handed out.
The one guy who got in the lotus position, got on his head, and funneled the beer, was that's pretty impressive. I'm always curious, you know, it's not that you can do it, that you found out that you can do it. See, you know what I mean? That's really the impressive part to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could get in a lotus position, get on my head and funnel a beer. I could imagine what would happen, but I can't say that I know for sure because I've never tried it. That's what I love about guys.
Guys try stuff. It's that spirit of adventure. It's the same thing. Who was the first human being, do you suppose, that went out into the sea
and ate a lobster?
Came back with an oyster shell, popped it open and said, "Well, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot."
I think that person was trapped on whatever island that surrounded the sea. I once had my roommate light a cigarette off a fart that I lit.
Ah.
Yeah, the aforementioned Wheeze.
Neat.
Wow, you're like Columbus of gas.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, I wonder how many people have done this, lit a cigarette, not from the match, but from the actual ball of flame that came from my ass.
Columbustible.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a good time. It was a little bit warm. Got to talk some sales weenies. That's always a good time. The thing about sales guys, when it doesn't matter what you sell, whether it's radio, air spots, or used cars, whatever, sales guys can talk, but that's about it. They physically can talk, and they definitely can corner somebody and get into it, but it's never quite what you call scintillating or anything. It's just they're physically good at talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird skill. Some people don't talk so much, but when they do talk, it's really interesting. Other people...
That's the way I go. I try to be, you know, nice and curt with my word choice. The only thing more annoying than my voice is my laugh.
That's right. Brevity, soul of Damashek's wit.
Thank you.
You just stopped the show cold with that. We didn't know where to go.
I got a glare from Corolla.
Too early. Listen, what you're doing right now is work, Dave. Don't do it. Pinch yourself. No, I'm screwing with you. You're major talent.
Thank you so much.
But sales guys can talk, but that's about it. A lot of words come pouring out of the mouth, but there's an interesting one every 150th word or so. When I was walking in, got caught behind some tourist couple that was not heading upstairs to the crow's nest to party with Def Frat Guy, but instead was heading into the restaurant. And it was an entire family. There's more and more of these people out there. You know the people that are sort of born to block? These are people that sort of stand and they're walking in front of you somewhere and they come to a stop and they have no spatial awareness. They don't know that they're sort of standing. They become like CHP guys running a traffic break. They sort of zigzag in front of you. They walk slowly, and they're always caught off guard that there are other human beings on the planet. We talked about the guy who's in the crowded parking lot filled with people circling, looking for an open spot. They hop into the car and then sit there and inexplicably count to 133 Mississippi before they put the car in reverse and back out. Not sure what they're doing. Doesn't appear to be anything. Can't see them putting on mascara or talking on the phone. They're just sitting there. They're unaware that there are other human beings on the planet who may want to either pass them or use their former parking space. This was an entire family of those people. There are five of them, and there were tall people, which is always a bigger obstacle. And they made a line across like the front by the register, and that's it. You couldn't get past them. Every once in a while, they'd spread out a little bit, and then they'd close up again.
Like they're running a play.
Yeah, I'd be like a running back that said, I see daylight, and all of a sudden middle linebacker just slid in, low-bridged me. I literally stood there for 10 minutes trying to look for an opening. They were engaged in conversation, but they just fanned out and blocked. And who is that person? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when someone is standing behind you, next to you, you should feel them. Don't you feel them like when you're human, like someone staring at you behind you or just trying to get around you? There's a feeling of somebody, there's a metronome or a clock or something that should be ticking in your head when you're in a crowded parking lot and you get in your car, when you're walking and looking in a window in a crowded thoroughfare where people are making their way across. You should feel it when you're sort of in people's way. That gene is being bred out of human beings, I've now decided.
Well, listen, like you said, the car equivalent, people, you know, the selfish behavior, same thing with these people who just, and it's that move where they just are walking and they decide down the street, and they know they're in a crowd. It shouldn't come as a surprise. They just put the brakes on with the feet, and they just stop, like, to wheel around, and they bump into you. Oh, excuse me, and they look at you like you've done something to them.
Yes.
These creeps, oh.
They should, wait till I'm in charge. Great jumpsuits and camps, and it's going to be awesome. No line at the airport.
After the revolution.
I'll tell you that. Yes, the one that takes place in my head. All right, what do we have going today? Def Frat Guy's going to call in and recap the party last night. Yeah, I don't think he's in any condition to actually come in, but he'll call in, play a spirited round of Name That Poon. Never been prouder of a game. Rick Moranis going to be on the show. Ghostbusters. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Brian, huge fan, right? Excited? Cloud Nine. Also,
in fact, never play this again.
Friday's Bitch Bag, back by popular demand. All that coming up. And next, we're going to talk to a guy who authored a book. And, it's called Bet You Didn't Know. It's Why Do Men Have Nipples? Why Do Men Fall Asleep After Sex? Many, many things that people take for granted. And yes, there is. Oh, why do men fall? Oh, okay. Bet You Didn't Know is what we're going to call it. Yeah. All right. We'll do that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa
presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Columbus, Ohio. Police pull over a man for driving erratically and find a bottle of vodka, three loaded semi-automatic handguns, and an AK-47 assault rifle. Police were unable to subdue the man with stun guns because he was wearing a bulletproof vest. The man was a running back for Ohio State. Definitely not a Jew.
Definitely not. 866-901-ADAM is the phone number. Mark, I think it's Liner?
Liner, I believe.
Is it Liner? Mark?
Yeah.
How do you say your last name?
Lehner.
Lehner. Mark Lehner on the phone. He wrote the book, Why Do Men Fall Asleep After Sex? This is a book that explains many of the sort of phenomenons. Are they all male phenomenons?
No. This book, it runs the gamut. There's all kinds of stuff about pregnancy and lactation and gay animals and ringing in your ears, and if you can nurse with fake boobs, if you can nurse with pierced nipples, I mean,
yeah,
and nutrition and sports stuff and holiday questions.
All right, well, let's...
There's one I love. What would actually happen if a morbidly obese man got stuck in your chimney? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
Well, it happens once a year over at the Corolla House, somewhere around the end of December. Let me ask you this one. I'm looking at these. Why do older people fart more than younger people?
They do, don't they? I guess they do.
Yeah, I'm asking you why.
No, I think there are two explanations for this. Mm-hmm. One is they just don't care anymore.
I think that's the argument for most older people. Why is that guy so grouchy? He was that way when he was 22. It's just he cared.
Right.
Now he's just screaming at you to get off his lawn.
One of these things,
he doesn't care.
Aging has the sort of Mel Gibson effect of alcohol. It just disinhibits you. You say and do what you want to do. You don't care anymore.
If you think about it, I could remember when I was in the sixth grade, I became very brazen about the end of the year because I realized I was moving on to junior high and it was time for me to start telling people around that school what I thought of
it. Right.
And I had some choice words for many of the, you know, bitchy new aides and some of my teachers and stuff like that because I did the math early on. I'm out of here. I'm never coming back.
Right. They're not going
to. It's not time to get off your chest. Well, when you get old, you're not going to the seventh grade. You're going to hell. You're going to a cast. You're going to the ultimate junior high. You're never coming back. You're going to out-of-state junior high. If you got something to say, now's definitely time to say it. And why get out of your pajamas if you're going to go to the market?
Now, there is some, like, scientific, anatomical, physiological explanation, which is simply that older people have less muscle tone, less control of muscles, and there's a muscle around the anal sphincter, and they just can't hold that clenched as well.
Bored up Bill. His is in a sling right now. Tough night last night. Hey, still icing it down. Hey, can I ask you this, Mark? What about the smell? Because I've had this debate with many people about the fart. Some guys seem to be consistently horrible, like Jimmy's cousin Sal and Jimmy and everyone Jimmy knows but me. And then there are guys that just sort of make a noise, but nothing really comes out, and people say, oh, it's the diet. Like, Jimmy Kimmel would always say, oh, it's definitely the diet, but we used to spend 24 hours a day together and eat the exact same thing, so how could it be the diet? My gas wasn't smelling. His was horrible.
I think some people are just foul.
Yes.
You know? That's it. They're just foul.
Thank you. Vindication. And then
this is a man of science.
Yeah, this is a man of science.
Same with BO. Am I right? There's people that shower, they put on deodorant, their hygiene isn't a problem, but they're funky.
You know something? There's this incredible syndrome. I'm not sure if officially it's called a syndrome or a disease, but people are born with. And you can go online and you can find this thing. It's called fish malodor syndrome. And it's people who have an incredibly horrible smell, like fish, like rotting fish. And
right.
It's unfortunate. I mean, there's nothing people can do about it.
I know.
Sure there's a treatment for it.
Well,
but
it translates in a very small tip from the Ace Man when I'm done with her.
But, you know,
very small.
Intestinal gas, flatulence, methane is the major odoriferous component in that. But people just digest things differently. They have different concentrations of enzymes in their gut. And
That's what Dr. Drew used to say.
But it all boils down to, I think, what we know deep down in our hearts. Some people just reek.
They're smelly, yes. I know, and it's not. Everyone does that thing where they go, hey, man, take a shower, dude. But the dude did take a shower, It's 4 in the afternoon, and he's funky now.
You know, in the old days, back in the, Paleolithic times, smelling was good.
It
attracted mates and warned predators away.
I know. That's why we needed pubes back then. But now we don't need it. They keep the stink in down
there.
Is that really what the pubes are for?
That you're one of the few people in the world who knows that. Well, I've been asked that question all. You know, this book just came out, and it's one of the questions in the book. Why do we have pubic hair? People have all kinds of wacky, erroneous ideas about, like, it's to keep your stuff warm or something.
Yeah.
It's to keep your testicles warm. Or how warm do you think that bit of hair there is going to keep anything?
Well, your testicles are supposed to be cool anyway.
They're out there because they need to be a couple of degrees cooler. But the reason that most people who study this, experts in pubic hair, scholars of the
pubologists.
Professor Merkin.
Scholars.
Professor Merkin at the Merkin Institute.
Right. Merkin Institute. It's to keep the, they call it a scent trap. It's to keep all that all the musky pheromones in there.
You box a few rounds of those cycling shorts and then whip those out.
But it's supposed to be sexually attractive, the scent that you're trapping down there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but all the stuff that used to be formerly sexually attractive, we've now carved out of our life.
All the porn stars don't have the pubes.
Yeah, but you know, if you test people where they're not aware so much of what they're smelling, I mean, people do these tests where, for instance, they'll give women little patches cut out of some guy's T-shirt from the armpit, and mix it in with a bunch of other sorts of smells, and women will choose that one, without consciously knowing what it is. So,
let's do that. Let's see, Teresa. Why don't you smell Brusca's armpit and see if you're attracted?
Aren't you really smelling somebody's genome? So you're smelling whether they're a good mate for you genetically.
Yes, that's reduced down to its elementary truth. That's correct.
Did you just call me elementary?
You're getting chemical signals about how great a dad this guy is, basically.
But I don't know, like, if you smell Big Ted and you just smell Mickey's Big Mouth and pepperoni, I don't know how that helps you at all with the decision making process. Yes, the pubes. I call my pubes the crab condo, by the way. I don't call them pubes. Here's one that you have that I've always been interested in, which I do. I shiver after I take a whiz. You ever do that thing where you get that? Now, it seems, I only notice it in a crowd. I don't notice it when I'm alone. And I
notice
it
after
at a
really
urinal.
Nice long one is when I notice it.
Yeah, where does that, what causes that?
I remember happening when I was a little boy, and it happens to a lot of men. I love this question. This is the kind of question that this book is all about. It's just one of these weird things you've always wondered about. There was actually this doctor. His name was James Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
At this place called Old Dominion University. And he actually investigated this thing, and it has something to do. I won't give you all the heavy-duty scientific stuff. There's something called the autonomic nervous system, and it controls, the urinary sphincter and bladder and all that kind of stuff. And it releases something called, what is that stuff called? I don't know, some chemical that...
Wee-wee?
Like a fighter. It's connected to the fight-or-flight response.
Adrenaline?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, but he also said, and this is interesting, this guy said... that just releasing the urinary sphincter results for a lot of men in a feeling of euphoria, almost like a sort of mini orgasm, and you sort of shiver with pleasure. And I think if anything shows how ridiculously easy men are to please, if you get like a mini orgasm from just releasing your urinary sphincter, that's a lot of things.
It is oftentimes embarrassing at the trough at the ballpark when you're up there like Michael J. Fox, and everyone's looking at you like, all right, buddy, take it easy. You'll be going again in 20 minutes. Don't worry about it.
You'll see people sort of, you know, it's this shudder.
Like I said, what happens to me is it only seems to happen around other men, and it's the thought of don't shiver, Corolla. Then I'll just go flying. It's nice whizzing into a trough. That's a pleasure you women could never know. You know, you women, you always complain, oh, the line is so long at the bathroom over at the ballpark, or so long at the bathroom over at the stadium or the arena, wherever you're at. Yeah, that's because you guys have separate places to do your business. You have dignity, you have divisions, you have your own pot. If you all just wanted to put your backs together and form what essentially looked like a daisy from a helicopter and just go into one communal hall, the line wouldn't be that long.
Right.
The line's not long because we all whiz on each other's feet in one trough.
I'll take the line.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What are those? There's so much fascinating stuff that goes on in there. What are those? You ever wonder? You know those things called like urine cakes?
I had two of them this morning.
They're good in the morning, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you got to dip. You got to drink with coffee, otherwise.
So men that there are guys that just stand there and they become sort of paralyzed with, I don't know, shame, fear. Mm. Nothing happens.
There's a lot of those guys.
Yes. I have them too. I have to turn on the faucet if I'm at a stranger's house so they can't hear me pee.
Yeah, I'm kind of into that one too, yeah. Well, the problem is in the bathrooms, especially if you're in somebody living in a smallish apartment. Now, let me just do you the math here, because I used to do some building. It's a smallish apartment. There's hardwood floors in the apartment, and there was carpet. There was shag carpet, but now it's been torn up, and they've exposed the hardwood floor. But the problem is the doors have all been undercut an inch and a half to make room for the carpet. Now, it's a cheap, small apartment, and there's a nice 1 3/8 hollow core door that separates you and the person that's sitting in the next room, and now you're on the pot. Now, that hollow core door has an 1/8 inch of masonite on each side of it, so it's essentially a 1/4 inch of material and a little bit of cardboard filler between you and the ears of the person. Now, they got the hardwood on that side. Your side is nothing but ceramic tile. There's nothing to lap up the sound at all. It is a chamber. It's like crapping into a tin can.
Right, and it not only doesn't it hide it, it probably amplifies everything.
Yes, it really is. I mean, somebody has to invent a shower curtain that's made of, like, 4-inch thick duvetine or something. Something that can't escape, where sound cannot pass. It just sucks up.
Buy one of those white noise machines.
But then that's an omission of guilt. When you hear that thing flicked on, then, oh, okay.
So is the faucet,
like,
though.
That's like when people, you know, that spray people use. I mean, you just know that's masking something a lot worse. So the effect is the same.
Yeah, I know. Now it's like I'm still getting the scent of ass, but now I'm getting polyps in my lungs because I'm sucking up a bunch of chemicals.
What's worse than someone else's fresh stool? The scent of fresh stool mixed with lemon.
Yeah. Ugh. Poop and lavender.
I'd rather they just poop right into the potpourri basket, which I've done. And I don't apologize to you. All right, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was great fun.
Love to see you in person sometime.
All right. Next time I'm out, we'll do it.
Yes, you're out in New Jersey right now?
Yeah, Hoboken. It's right across the river from New York City.
Mm-hmm. Hoboken, one of those cities that makes the Comedy Writers top 10 lists of cities.
Fun to say.
Hoboken.
Sheboygan.
Sheboygan's good. Battle Creek, Michigan, solid.
Altoona.
Yeah, it used to be Albuquerque. I think Bugs Bunny got that one started, but Albuquerque has fallen in down below the top 10, and it's now
surpassed. I don't see Hoboken as much as I used to up there, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
It seemed about the time people stopped using Hello Larry as the punchline for the bad sitcom. They stopped using Hoboken for the punchline of the bad city. All right, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Give your book a nice plug. Why Do Men Fall Asleep After Sex? That's the name of the book. It's David Alan Greer.
After our date.
Dag doing a play in San Diego.
I heard this on the radio.
Oh, you did?
But then it seemed to say that he had dropped out. He was the scarecrow in The Wiz.
Oh, really?
And then it seemed to say that he was
talking
not
about
doing
The Wiz.
Yeah. Ironic.
Oh, is that the part he was playing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm such a great friend. I think people expect me to ask questions. You know, I'm doing a play in San Diego. Okay.
Do you don't care what part I'm playing?
Hmm?
The part I'm playing.
Huh? When are you going? When are you going to San Francisco?
No, I'm in a play.
What? You want to play?
No, I'm acting in a play. The Wiz.
All right, listen. Yeah, it's right. I got to take a leak. I'll call you back. That's how it goes. I realize I don't ask anyone any questions. It's horrible. It's so horrible and narcissistic. I guess I'm hoping they don't ask me any questions, so I'm going to return the favor. But he just said he was going to San Diego for 3 months to do a play, and it was good luck to you.
Mo Damashek all the time. Oh, so what does Adam say about his kids?
I don't know. I don't really ask him about it.
You don't ask him about how his new babies are?
I don't know. No, we were talking about the Rams football uniform.
We got again? I know. It's great. It's so pathetic being a lightweight. All right. We will take ourselves a break. News.
Yes.
Sports coming up. I love this song.
What is this song?
It's Beck.
Beck. Yeah. Sex Laws.
Good song. It's got a good 60s horn-driven riff. Yeah. You know, I saw Beck perform at the K-Rock Weenie Roast about 11, 12 years ago, and it was just one squirrely dude with a Casio out there, and the whole audience was like, to heck with Beck. They were like, who is the squirrely dude with the Casio? Bring on Belly, or whoever the hell was hot then and coming on next. And they wanted this guy to get the F off stage, and then I saw him, I don't know, 5 years later in Washington, and it was he had a cane and a whole thing going on, and it just made me realize you're never who, you know, people do that thing where it's like, when did you know you're funny, or when did you know you're talented, or when did you start singing or something? It's a process. You evolve. Even the guys that are, you might even call geniuses, guys like Beck that are really interesting, there still is some point where they're out there with a Casio and everyone's holding their thumbs down going, who's next? All right. Yeah. Sorry, T.
No problem.
The more you know.
I just learned something. Do you want to know what's coming up on the news?
What's going on with Beck?
Beck is from right near where I live. He's from MacArthur Park area near downtown L.A.
And now he's into the voodoo, the Scientology voodoo.
Oh, is really? Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Sorry, go ahead, T.
Oh, yeah. In the news, if today you're going to be at work and you plan on surfing the internet, which most people do at work, and you plan on looking at things that maybe you shouldn't, there's a law that just passed this week that you need to hear about. That and more.
All right, we'll do that.
Also, we're playing Name That Poon when we come back.
Yeah.
We're playing it when we get back, Bruska?
Yes.
Name That Poon.
Within score.
Really?
We've done that every time.
All right, I don't know.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah, Name That Poon. We got lots of good prizes. A lot of pornography DVDs to give away. And plus Hooters gift certificates. Ooh, and this is nice, too, for the fan of pornography. The Bill Cosby Show Season 1 DVD.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Hey, that's how you roll. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Jack got a little too much Jack in him last night at the Hooters Def Rat Guy party. And by Jack, I mean Smirnoff Ice. So Jack's going to lay low for a while, kids. Enjoy the show.
Who's on the show, Jack?
Don't know. Don't care. Do your own goddamn promo.
Rick Moranis, Jack.
Rick Moranis? No one gives a shit.
Jesse Jane and Kirsten Price from Playboy.
Great, more porn stars. I feel like ass. One of the interns tells me I might have been out with a dude last night. You guys know how the hell that feels? To hell with y'all. I'll be in my office sleeping this one off. Bruska, bring me some goddamn ass.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ooh. Do you hear my voice in there?
I heard an annoying voice, and I assume all annoying voice. Or your voice. But, that was funny, except for the part where I was hearing, like, air traffic control going in the background. The hell was that? All right. We don't know. You can't live in the past. Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the reasons I got into radio is you never get to go back and fix anything. Or I should say have to go back and fix anything. You know, on TV, we got to do that again. All the time I did TV, it was always stop, Let's fix that. Let's go back. Let's do that. Doesn't matter what the hell goes on. Hell, someone could drop an F-bomb. Nothing you could do about it. That's what happened last week. 10 o'clock, it's time to go. Doesn't matter if the show was a 3 or a 9. Doesn't matter. 10 o'clock, see you later. That's what I love about radio.
I wish it were like that for me, because I like to spend the next couple hours in regret, yeah, emotionally.
Yeah, that voice behind the promo was calling me fat. Now, where was we? Yes, Rick Moranis is going to be on the show. And the long lost Rick Moranis. We had to go dig this guy up. I don't think he's done much, or at least I haven't seen him on a show or heard him on a show in quite some time. Def
There's only
guy.
One man who would dare give me the raspberry.
By the way, Brian, I think I have a theory about movies now, and Spaceballs especially, but movies. Once in a while, you'll hang out with somebody, and they'll go, oh, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, funniest movie ever made, or Spaceballs. Man, is that movie funny? And you go, what? Spaceballs? Dirty Rotten? You think that was the funniest? You think that's funnier than Raising Arizona or Fargo or something? Like, oh, yeah, oh, that's fun. And then you start doing the math, and you go, wait a minute, how old are you? 29? Spaceballs. Oh, you were 13 when Spaceballs came out.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
You saw it in the theater when you were 13 and it got burned into you. It's the funniest movie ever made. And pride and good memories have made you cling to that story. But when you see it now, if you saw it as an adult, there are many movies. There's in the art world, there's songs, there's art itself, there's cars. There's music. When you see things through the eyes and hear them through the ears of an adult, they don't stand up.
I always have coffee when I watch Radar. You know that.
That's what happened to you, Brian. That's what happened to you with Spaceballs.
Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
How old were you when you saw Spaceballs?
Nine. Like 8 or 9. And it completely seared in my brain as the funniest movie ever.
There you go. There you go. You're very bald brain. All right. We ready to move on and do some news and sports, T?
Yes. More information has come to light about the terrorist attack that was foiled yesterday by the British. According to accounts leaked by investigators, the terrorist plan would have brought down up to 10 planes headed for U.S. cities simultaneously. Now, reports say the bombs were to be assembled on the airplanes using liquid explosives that were going to be in sports drink bottles, and they were going to be combined with common electronic devices, in particular the flash bulb of a disposable camera that would spark the liquid explosive. So far, 24 suspects arrested in England, 5 in Pakistan, and it is believed that a massive attack could have been just days away had it not been foiled.
They must be... I was thinking if I was a terrorist, how perplexed I would be that we will not use profiling at our airports, that we just say chick that looks like Sandy Duncan and a dude that looks like Tom Petty. It's like, take your shoes off, open your bags. They must find it, they must find it amusing, but B, they must be perplexed by it. They're like, how stupid are these people that a very small percentage of folks that get on an airplane fit the composite for someone who would blow the plane up, yet their line's going around the block, the airplane industry is going under, and it's costing billions of dollars because they will do every young child and every old woman exactly the same. Their heads must be swimming. They never talked to them about it. It's always, where's Bin Laden and what did you do for him and what did he eat? But I would be curious, like, what they thought. Do they think we're the most sort of magnanimous, fair-minded people in the world, or do they think we're soft and stupid? They must just think we're soft and stupid.
Well, as it happens, most of the suspects arrested are British citizens, but they are of Pakistani descent. One woman reportedly was arrested, which is surprising. You don't expect that.
Well, she should be punished unless she's hot. Because if she's hot, then that's hot.
Well,
you know?
President Bush is asking Americans to be patient with the travel situation.
Sure.
Travelers are going to be inconvenienced as a result of the steps we've taken. I urge their patience and ask them to be vigilant. The inconvenience occurs because we will take the steps necessary to protect the American people.
Strategery.
Sure. Hey, listen, when every pink-skinned fat guy in his 70s is stripping down in front of you, it's going to add to the line. Yeah. So it's a fantastic, it's a great strategy. Oh, wait a minute. It's not a strategy at all. It's everybody does the exact same thing. It's a fantastic, it's a great plan. Hey, there's going to be millions of people passing through your hundreds of airports every day. Let's have them all do exactly the same thing. How about kids? Oh, yes. How about old women? Okay. How about people who've never left the country before? Born and bred in Kentucky. That's right. They'll be doing the exact same thing.
Angie, the drunken producer, and I separately are supposed to travel. We're not going off on a tryst or anything. But we're both supposed to travel today.
You'll bang her in the hall before you guys leave.
That's my business. Now, they're supposedly having two checkpoints. One at the regular security thing where you have to put your bags through. And then before you get on the plane, they're going to rip your bags apart again. All to look for Gatorade.
Yeah.
Well, just don't pack liquids, gel, shampoo, toothpaste, suntan lotion, stuff you wouldn't use anyway.
It's going to take 5.5 hours to get onto the plane.
I pack pasties and sawdust when I travel. That's it. Never a toothbrush or anything you might put in a kit. That's right.
We've spoken something.
Let me say this, too. What's up with the National Guard down to the airport? Does that do anything? A bunch of jarheads that were working at a filling station the day before are going to just stand around with Army helmets on? That's going to stop the planes from blowing up. This is another one of these things that makes me realize the government just thinks its people are stupid and there's going to be a show of force. Schwarzenegger's going to tell, hey, National Guard, get down there and stand around. That's not the problem, what's going on the ground. These guys don't come in wearing bandolero belts and hooping and hollering. They come in dressed like business travelers, and then they get on the plane, and then they blow the plane up. The National Guard's guys are just going to be standing back in the airport hearing the news with everyone else.
Well, we've spoken in the past. You've spoken about civil liberties and the debate about, whether we should have our civil liberties or whether we should, be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Or both.
Well, the ultimate civil liberty is being blown up. I mean, if you want your liberties denied.
Well, let's talk about civil liberties in the workplace. Now, some would argue that your employer cannot violate your rights by checking what you surf online. This week, a federal appeals court ruled that laws preventing, quote, illegal search and seizure do not apply to workplace computers because they belong to your employer.
Yes.
In other words, whatever you search online, you are responsible for that. Your employer can check it. Now, this case was brought about because a Montana man used his work computer to access child pornography, and then he sued because his Fourth Amendment rights were violated.
I like that. He's got dignity. I like that.
He lost.
Good day. I got to tell you, if I work, I've seen what goes on at the workplace. I've seen what goes on over at the Kimmel writing room. If I was hiring anybody in any situation, any guy, I would bring him in. Hey, buddy, sit down. Hey, before we get started, by the way, you seem like Ace Co. material. This is just a formality, but I got a rotisserie draft coming up tonight. I'm playing a little fantasy baseball. I'm new at this. Do you have any tips for me? Oh, listen, I got to tell you. Okay, you're out of here. Get out. Get out,
because
I don't need you wasting 4 goddamn hours a day on my computer checking your ESPN and making all your draft picks and arguing with your buddies via email. Get out.
That's smart.
That's what I would do immediately.
Not where do you see yourself in 5 years, but who's on your rotisserie team?
I would bring it up as soon as they chime in. Now, if he said, I'm sorry, I don't know anything. All right, you're now president of the company. That's how it would work.
Okay, now this World Trade Center movie opened on Wednesday, which seems very weird timing since this terrorist attack was foiled Thursday. So the movie company was sort of thinking about pulling some of the advertising for the film, but it decided not to. Here is one of the stars of the film, Maggie Gyllenhaal. She's discussing how being in this film about 9/11 personally affected her.
It let me sort of be vulnerable about the subject again. I had had all these guards up. I'd protected myself so much. Yeah. It was such a huge, catastrophic thing that happened that, in a way, I hadn't really digested it. And when I watched it, it kind of helped me feel some of the things that I hadn't been able to feel in a long time. And that was important for me.
Too soon? Too not soon enough? Is it too soon? Are we too... Stop asking that stupid question.
You think
it's too soon? I don't think it's ever too soon. I don't... Shut up. It was a horrible, tragic event, and someone's making a movie about it, same way they do about every horrible, tragic event. It's weird, you know?
What I resent about it is I don't care about too soon or anything like that, but I don't like the way that it's being spun. The ads are like, this was our greatest moment as a nation. Like,
sure.
No, it was not.
Sure. A scenario they came that they...
Yes, they terrorized us. That was terrible. It was not a glorious time for us.
Well, it's going to be a terrible weekend at the box office.
Hold on one sec. Mike?
Yes, sorry, Adam, baby. How's it going,
you work airport security?
No, I work down on the ramp. I loaded baggage for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to bring a backpack, lunchbox. Never searched once.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. Well, I know. Unfortunately, it's a monumental task. It just is. I mean, there's way too many people working for the airport. There's way too many people passing through the airport. You know, if 100 Americans traveled a year, we'd be fine. But there's millions, and there's just too many. And the folks that they're hiring, because they need so many of them and they can't afford to pay them, obviously you're not going to get the cream of the crop. You're not going to get the top of the class.
Exactly. I mean, it just make, you know, people feel a little bit better if when you go down there, maybe your supervisor said, hey, you know, we got to do a random check of some people's bags, see what people are bringing onto the ramp.
Yeah, one of the guys worked for the airport. One of the terrorists or one of the guys that they had a high security clearance at the airport.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you doing now, Mike?
I work for the gas company.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have a cold?
Not really. I just woke up and kind of nose is a little stuffy.
Adam, does he smoke weed?
I would say yes, but I only get that from the laugh. It's tough. You smoke a little weed, do you, Mike?
No, I used to smoke like Cheech and Chong back in the day, but...
Right.
Gotta stay clean.
Right. Right.
I actually...
now there's the weed coming out.
When I worked at the airport, I actually used to smoke down on the ramp with my supervisor.
That's what happened to my luggage. That's what happened. All right, Mike.
All your snacks were gone.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, as I was saying, opening at the box office this weekend, Zoom with Tim Allen about an out-of-shape former superhero called back into duty. And if you don't want to see that,
no,
you can see Step Up about an uptight ballet dancer who takes on street dancing.
Haven't both these movies been made 30 times each already?
Yes.
Oh, he's a tough, rough and tumble hockey player. She's a pampered ice princess. But they're forced to work together. Where's my hot chick I'm forced to work with? I've been going through my entire life going, where's the hottie I'm supposed to work with?
Wait, I'm a love line.
The Jew.
Full of hotties.
No, but I just mean it's like but I wasn't nailing them.
True.
I'm a gruff construction worker. Where's the smoking hot architect that I'm forced to, you know, the plane crashes and we're trapped together? Where's my the antithesis? Oh, is that Rachel Perry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it going to take to get you into my pants? And on that note, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
In a matter of moments, we'll be playing Name That Poon. For reasons that aren't exactly clear to me.
Well, we have porn stars coming in later.
We do have porn royalty coming in, our friends Jesse Jane and Kirsten Price.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll play our legendary
Yurgi, the Romanian porn producer, will be in with him as well.
But first, before we get the Name That Poon, I have the most wonderful news. Tomorrow night, down in Arizona, the Cardinals start a whole new era in the Valley of the Sun with the unveiling of their brand new stadium. They've got running back supreme Edge James from the Colts to go along with those nice young receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Warner, at some point Sue Matt Leiner, blah, blah, blah. Now for the wonderful news. Their first foe in the stadium tomorrow, the world champion Pittsburgh Steelers. And even better news, you know who's starting at QB for them?
Big Ben.
The resurgent number seven, Big Ben, rising appropriately enough in the Valley of the Sun like a phoenix.
Wow, I had not heard you talk about him or the Steelers.
Please, number seven, do me and everyone a favor and keep it nice and healthy.
Be interesting to see the Cardinals, sort of perpetual cellar dwellers, and see how they do this year, because they should be good this year.
Yes, and if they are, I'll be disappointed. There'll be a place in my heart that's a little sad that they changed their uniforms last year.
Yeah.
They got those space-aged arena football kind of uniforms with the big red line that goes all the way up the side.
Yeah.
That's no good.
No.
Go back to the old one.
I agree.
All right. National pastime. Excitement at Chavez Ravine last night. Dodgers pull one out in the bottom of the ninth on a Kenny Lofton single to knock off the Rockies. Their win streak now stands at one.
Yeah.
Meantime, over in Queens, New York, the Metropolitans finished the sweep against the Padres. Brusca's heart soars at that news. This means that the Dodger Blue is now a half game up in the NL West with Barry the Creep and his gigantic pals in L.A. this weekend. Junior Circuit Halos put to shame by the Tribe in Cleveland, 14-2. And now they got three straight in Yankee Stadium, where I believe the Yankees play, and they're good. So that's going to be a bad weekend for them. Mariners dumped by Texas. Brian, the sound man, disappointed and shamed, not just by Matt Leinart's refusal to sign with Arizona Cardinals. Lendell White, their great running back, you know, he got all fat and didn't even get drafted in the first round when he should have. Then yesterday in Tennessee Titans training camp, he spit on one of the other players, one of his teammates. This is a good way to ingratiate yourself. Fat like a pig, and now he's spitting on everybody.
The other player,
Tad, does the same crap around here.
And when he shows up. The other player had a great strategy as he whipped his helmet off and tried to beat him with his helmet, which is a good move.
Yes.
It is.
Use his helmet like a club.
It's durable.
Yeah.
Phil Romanowski, that's a big move of his, too. Hitting his teammates, knocking them out and swinging helmets.
Yeah.
It must be a lot of fun in the locker room. All right, listen. Let's play this game of Name That Poon.
Who's that moaning? It's time to play Name That Poon.
All right, here's the thing. First of all, as I say, we do have Jesse, Jane, and Kirsten Price coming in here at some point soon. And yet, the way we play, of course, is you have to identify who the porn star is based on the sound you hear pulled straight from the pornography.
Right.
However, neither Jesse, Jane, nor Kirsten Price will make an appearance in this edition.
Well, what happened
Stop
is...
Stop ripping the bit and do the bit.
I'm not
ripping.
He's just
unhappy about the bit.
He created the bit. He pitched it yesterday in the meeting, the bit.
I know, but I didn't
know. Now we're doing the bit, and now he doesn't want to do the bit.
Well, but we don't even have either of the two girls that are in it.
We can't find a DVD. Stuff happens sometimes.
Let me explain. First off, the DVDs do not last a second in the office because Big Tad Keister's them or Jerron. I saw him walking out without bending his right knee the other day. I mean, he clearly had a sweatpant full of porn taped to his leg.
Duct tape.
And he just walked right on out that way. So everyone steals the porn out of the room. We thought we had the porn with them in it because they dropped off 30 of them last time they're here. They all got devoured. But, yes, I agree. I thought we played when the chicks were in here, too. But Dave is really upset about having to go. He's got to go to the airport today. And he's got to go to see John Kimmel get married, Jimmy's younger brother in, like, Idaho. And he doesn't want to go to the airport.
And I got like, a cold chill down my spine from drinking a lot of Mickey's malt liquor last night.
I drank a lot, too. Yeah. That's all. It's a little Mickey's hangover.
I think my performance today, given those circumstances, is nothing short of courageous.
Also, the tension between you and Brusca, also because Brusca is not going to the wedding because he has a pregnant wife.
Excuse me.
I think you're right. I think there's a little bit of envy that
there
I'm not
is.
Going to the wedding. Dave is transferring that anger towards me with this. I'm not doing
anger.
Name That Poon.
What a delight it'll be.
Yes.
In the valley, in Sun
Thank
Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Go ahead, Ron.
Do we have our first caller?
I got Ron on the phone.
Okay,
yes.
Ron, you must identify now. Which porn star this is based on the sound? Is it Jenna Jameson, Tara Patrick, or Joanna Angel? Let's hear the first sound. Is that Jenna, Tara, or Joanna?
Tara?
I'm sorry, Ron.
No!
Could have won that Cosby box set.
Yes, I forgot to mention the bounty of prizes. Bunch of porn, $50 gift certificate to Hooters, and the Bill Cosby DVD.
Scott?
Yeah, I'm here.
Here we go.
All right.
Here we go.
I know that's Beck on the Castillo, but I don't recognize the girl.
Jenna, Tara, or Joanna?
Now that sounds like Tara.
Very nice, sir. Enjoy the cause. Now, I'm not clear. The Kaz doesn't actually make an appearance in a porno, does he?
This is
something separate. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
What's that sound like?
Theo. Yeah, what would that sound like if the Kaz was in a porn?
Well, you know, the pudding pops into the oil like that, the recidivism.
It gets political even in a porn.
He always gets political. There's always a message with the Kaz.
All right, number three.
John?
Yes.
Here we go.
All right.
I like that one.
Let's try that again, Brian. Let's hear it. Some spanking going on. Sounds like Jenna, Tara, or Joanna?
This is a tough one, but I'm going to go with the top one, Jenna.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm so sorry. All right, and one more.
Let's try one more. Let's talk to Camille. How do you say your name?
K-A-M-I-L.
Yes. How do you... All right, I'll try it this way. How do you spell your name?
K.
Oh, didn't work. How do you pronounce that?
Camille.
All right. Yeah. I thought that was a chick name.
Yeah. Camille Paglia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, please, let's put this bit out of its misery. Let's one more. Let's go with Camille. You play your last chance here. Here we go.
Camille, you'd make a fantastic attorney. I say your client is guilty. How about that? All right, here we go.
Wait a second.
Who is that?
Wait. Is it Tara?
That's going to have to be... Alan Greer.
Yes. I gotta say, to be fair to Camille, he not only screws his own name up, he screws everyone's name up.
Yeah.
And that's consistent.
Until the next time, name that poo.
Just awful.
It wasn't bad.
I know, and we stole that bit from NPR to make it worse.
It's tough when the guy who runs the bit doesn't want to do the bit.
I didn't know we were doing it in sports.
Bitchbag is coming up at 8 o'clock. I may have to change my vote.
All right. We need to take ourselves...
That means you voted for me.
We need to take ourselves a little break. Def Rat Guy coming up. Also, Rick Moranis, Playboy TV's... I guess the Night Calls chicks, Jesse Jane and Kirsten Price as well. Friday's Bitch Bag, Yergi's going to be here. All that coming up after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Last week on the Adam Carolla Show, we debuted the Friday Bitch Bag.
My money's on Brusca.
Each staffer made a complaint about a coworker, and the results were tallied.
Brusca, Tad, Dave D.
Uh-oh, Teresa.
Wait, hi. Feels like there's two left. Dave Damashek.
Dave's got three.
And Brusca.
Oh.
So the tie.
The one with the most complaints had to read them on air.
I think this says everything you need to hear right here. My vote is for Damashek. Because Brusca paid me $10 to vote for
it. Who's it going
to
be this week? The Friday Bitch Bag is coming on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm.
I was found by scumbaggery. It was a fix. Brusca paid off interns.
All right, we will get to the very controversial Friday Bitch Bag. But first, the hero of last night's party at Hooters, Def Frat Guy on the phone. Mav, good to talk to you.
Hey,
folks. Wow. You sound bad, Mav.
I'm it's up this morning, bro.
Are you on a cell phone, Mav?
Dude, this totally sucks. I have to pick up Moose at the airport.
Whoa. Wow. That is a lot of traffic. Long lines. Where's Moose coming in from?
He's a camp counselor. He's coming in from his camp.
Oh, I see.
Have you even been to bed yet, Maverick, from last night's very successful Rush function?
How late did the weekend last night?
We got really wasted. You're drinking a lot of Mickey's and funneling a lot of beers, yeah.
A lot of stuff going on. They were hot, sick. Yeah. They were, like, some pretty cool dudes. But, like, they were mostly a lot of hot chicks and beer and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad Moose couldn't have been there.
Hey, bro, I got to give you props for for showing up, dude, and making all this possible.
Hey, it was my pleasure, Mav. And I have to say that having Douchebag dressed as a Hooters waitress was a stroke of genius.
Yeah.
Dude, how thick was that?
Hazing.
Hazing, I like that, yeah.
That was OTA, off the hook.
I understand.
He had Douchebag and Gilligan, two of his pledges he's really sticking it to right now. Yeah. Yeah. Dressed up as Hooters girls.
Yeah, they were all... They're all there. Flojo was having a good time.
Yeah, Smitty.
Smitty was there.
Flojo drank a big glass of vodka, straight vodka.
Yeah, a pint of vodka. Yeah. Chugged it, no less. Ugh.
Smitty looks exactly like Brusca combined with the lead singer from the Bare Naked Ladies. If you picture Brusca and the lead singer from the Bare Naked Ladies, that's exactly what Smitty looks like.
It's true.
The thing with Flojo is he didn't puke for at least 45 minutes after he chugged that pint of vodka.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So what's on the itinerary for today? You're going to pick Moose up, and then what?
Moose is a little bugged out. Dude, I met some chicks last night.
Uh-oh. Yeah?
And I would like to meet with them to try to get down with them today.
Oh, okay. Did you get a phone number or anything?
Yeah, remember that thing where the Hooters girl was standing on the bar, and like I was like, I got five asses in my face, and I'm like, bro, this must be heaven.
They have a little competition. I don't know if they always play it at Hooters, but it's not a great plan. The Frozen T-shirt contest.
Yes, that's when things really got unruly.
This got out of hand. Now, as I was watching the place being destroyed by guys swinging Frozen T-shirts and banging holes in tables and knocking holes in floors.
Yeah, they dunked T-shirts. They tied them in knots. They dunked them in water. Then they froze them solid.
Right.
And then you had to untangle it and put it on.
First person to untangle their frozen block of knotted T-shirt
got
and
the
put it on
to Delta Foo. Right.
Got to keep the T-shirt. I think that's what happened. No, they got a box set and some Delta Foo stuff and everything. But the point is immediately, here's what guys had two strategies. One, dunk the T-shirt in the closest pitcher of beer.
Wasting that whole pitcher.
Not great for whoever was drinking the pitcher of beer. The other was dump water all over it. And the other one was beat it. Beat this frozen block of a T-shirt on the tabletop, in which case all the beer and the water and everything just went flying. It was a gigantic mess immediately. And it made me think of the same folks that think it's a great idea to buy the silly string for the party and have everyone spray the silly string so that then you have to then get that encrusted stuff off the curtains and the ceiling fan. It never quite comes off the sofa fabric and stuff. This is a horrible idea. The silly string and the frozen T-shirt contest. They beat a hole in the floor. Guys were going insane beating this thing on the floor, and they did it for all of 40 minutes, too.
But I think you would agree that it was a really good way to see someone's character.
You learn a lot.
You do learn. I mean, you got to have grit. Because I'll tell you, good looks or a nice bicep is only going to get you so far in a frozen T-shirt contest. These guys were beating the F out of these T-shirts on the floor, just pounding on them, standing up covered with sweat, beating them again.
Yeah, the Hooters
You're
people.
You're all worthless and weak.
The Hooters people announce at the beginning, hey, there are no rules tonight. And then the people start banging the frozen T-shirts on all of their tables and floor. And they're like, all right, you guys got to settle down.
All the beer spilled at that point anyway. It was a mess. People are slipping all over the place. Yeah, I know. Did they do that all the
time?
I've never heard of that, but there was another contest where women were given a T-shirt, and then they could cut it up in whatever way to make a bikini out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I walk into the bathroom, and it was very serious. It was Project Runway in there, like how they were going to do it and what they were going to wear, and then I left, so I don't know who won.
That was the more savory
event.
Yes. Yeah. That was the fun. That was the more fun one. That was the main event. But Maverick, based on the success of last night's debut Rush Function, will there be others?
Hell yeah.
You'll need a much bigger venue.
You need a bigger venue.
We're going to San Diego September 14th.
We are.
Yes, and Def Rat Guy will
So another pledge function. So he's starting up a chapter down there San Diego.
And the good news is you'll learn from previous mistakes, San Diego. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll take the knowledge that we learned and we'll pack it with us to San Diego. There'll be no frozen T-shirt competition. We will get a bigger venue and we'll get some air conditioning, too, because it was steamy up there.
And douchebag taking off his shirt will not happen in San Diego.
He's going to have to wear pasties this time if he takes his shirt off. And also, the problem with the sweaty environment is the Ace Man having to take a lot of pictures with a lot of drunken guys who want to get in real good and tight. Somehow the cameras, I don't know what it is about the camera, but there's a distance that people stand back when they take a picture of you. It's about 3.5 to 4 feet. If they took another step, you guys wouldn't have to mash your heads together like you're conjoined twins, but they won't do that. Come on, get in, get in, get in. How about you take a step back, jackass? Why does everyone have to get in? We're in. You get back.
Yes, it was quite
ultimately,
filthy.
Though, Maverick must be so pleased with his turnout at his first Delta Foo function.
It was really fun, and I thank you for putting this together to really help Delta Foo. I have to admit, I'm a little hungover right now.
I understand.
Normally, like, I thought it was the flu because I don't get hungover, but maybe I am a 50th senior. Maybe it's catching up to me.
Past your prime, maybe.
Well, you got to push through for Delta Foo because we're going down to San Diego way. And,
hell yeah.
We're going to have another party, yeah.
I'm really proud of you guys and for showing up. And also, I'm really proud of all the Delta Foo pledges. And I just wanted to say one more thing, that when those girls were doing the bikini contest and it was really hot, I got just the faintest smell of pee.
Really?
It's a turn on. Turn on. All right, Mav, we'll let you pick up Moose down at the airport.
How do you get the food?
All right, next time, hopefully we'll see Moose when we do this. Are you saying the 14th in San Diego?
That's correct.
All right.
Thursday the 14th in San Diego.
Good times. All right, we need to take a break. Rick Moranis, the normally reclusive. Rick Moranis. Brian, did you double up on the underpants today?
And I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Very exciting for you. I'm sure he's going to be pleased to know that you love his work in Spaceballs.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
We'll take a quick break. Rick Moranis after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show from Spaceballs.
You have the ring, and I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
To Strange Brew.
This movie was shot in 3B. Three beers and it looks good, eh?
To Ghostbusters.
I am the Keymaster.
What's next for the Keymaster? Rick Moranis on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, here he is. Rick?
Yeah, Adam, hi.
Thanks for being on the show.
I hear you put a little production there into that intro.
Well, we're big fans over here.
Oh, thanks for having me. And by the way, I like the Herb Alpert, the Tijuana Brass music behind the traffic report. That's really cool.
Thank you. We had that horrible generic techno music that somebody in 1991 needed to be the soundtrack. Someone decided this is going to be the soundtrack for all the white people in the world in their 40s, and I will not go along with this charade. I hate tech music. I think everyone does. And the idea that we just inexplicably put it behind everything is ridiculous. Let's take a music no one listens to, no one enjoys, and put it behind everything.
I love the idea of happy music behind bad traffic reports.
I want to hear, yes, let's hear some more Herb. I like...
Wash off your mascara.
What? Is this Rick?
Yes.
Here, take my Kleenex. Wipe that lipstick away.
Wow. If you could do just a pure musical version of that, Rick, we would put it behind our traffic and news. I'm looking at the grosses of your movie over the years. And
have you adjusted it for inflation? Because they're all from the 80s.
Ooh, it's a decent self-deprecating point, but still valid. I mean, we're looking at,
billions.
Yes, billions of dollars. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Spaceballs. And I've seen nothing of that.
Yeah, how does that work? What about, like, for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
I think that one made so much money that they actually couldn't hide all of the profits. Mm-hmm. So you've heard of trickle-down economics, a little bit trickled in. But, you know, with every year that goes by, the residuals get smaller and smaller. You know, there used to be a bar, or at least that was the lore, that in Burbank called Residuals.
I've been there.
Yes.
Oh, is it there?
Yeah.
Still there, yeah.
And if you bring in a check for less than the cost of a drink, they'll give you a drink?
Yeah.
I think it's if your residual is under a dollar, like it starts with a 0.37, which I've gotten, you get a free drink for your residual.
And they paper the walls with these checks?
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you mean off of Ventura Boulevard there in the mall?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, been there.
Well, I tell them, next time you're there, tell them I got plenty of wallpaper for them.
I will. I shall.
So, Rick, where are you living now?
I've been living in New York City since 85, 84, something like that.
And you're doing, we have your comedy album here, or your...
I did an album last mm-hmm. year, Out of the Blue. I started writing some songs, which sort of sounded like country songs, you know, bluegrass and rockabilly and whatnot, mm-hmm. mainly because my daughter, who was, I guess, around 17 at the time when I first started writing them a couple of years ago, had a boyfriend that was in a bluegrass band and played the mandolin. And he'd come in, and I'd sort of get my guitar, and we'd play together, and one thing led to another. I just started writing some songs, and when I had enough of them, friends of mine were saying, you got to do something with it. So I recorded them with a producer in his home studio in Brooklyn. We had a blast, and the thing got nominated for a Grammy last year, and I think it's still in the stores. I don't think we sold all that many, but you can get it somewhere on Amazon or on
the Agoraphobic Cowboy?
The Agoraphobic Cowboy, yes.
Well, it's nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, last year it was nominated.
Yeah. Well, that's got to be nice for the high schooler. Like, what'd you do this week? Smoked some weed, sat in my yard. What'd you do? Jammed with Rick Moranis on a mandolin?
Wow. I don't think he was all that impressed with my guitar playing, to be honest with you.
Dude, you suck. The Ghostbusters guy sucks on the guitar. Hey, well, let's hear a little bit of that. Can we hear? Motion, doggy door, mail, call people, Avon, wireless strobes on pin code, keypad, relay, pepper spray, home base, interface. Is he playing on this, Rick?
For the kid?
Yeah.
No.
These are pros.
He was an ex-boyfriend by then.
Oh. I was wondering if he was out of the picture.
Yeah. Now, do you say to your daughter, like, listen, you think you could date a guy who plays the bass because we're going on the road soon?
Actually, she's got a new boyfriend. She'd kill me if she knew I was doing it. Good thing she's sleeping in. She got a new boyfriend who's a brilliant classical pianist, but it's going to take me 400 years to write something for him to play.
So what is are you set for life, Rick? I mean, I guess the question is, did you decide to sort of, you know, focus on family and do your pet projects? Does Hollywood come calling? Do you have enough money in the bank just to enjoy yourself every day without having to go out and earn it?
You sound exactly like my mother. My mother asked me the same question every day. The answer to all the above is no. Hollywood calls, but, you know, for too many years I turned stuff down, so I think they stopped calling. Although after this album came out last year, they started calling again. I think once my kids are both completely out of the house, I may go back to filming. But I didn't really miss it. I took a break from it so I could be home with my kids and you know, just focused on writing and laundry, basically.
Well, Rick, everybody, believe me, would be thrilled. Even if you don't need to do it for the fans, please, Strange Brew 2. One of the funniest movies ever. Any
Thanks.
Talk about Bob and Doug reunion?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm actually too old to do that guy at this point. Don't you think?
No. Senior citizens. You two are still drinking beer and whatever else.
Well, yeah, that's true. We are doing that. We're working on a couple of things together. You know, Dave's a really close friend of mine. We talk all the time, and we've got a couple of things we're talking about. I don't know if it'll be a Strange Brew sequel or not, but, you know, those characters, they're sort of perennials. They keep coming up all the time.
He was in studio a few weeks back. That's how we decided to track you down. But he said he wasn't a fan of yours. He said he'd rather you work with me. So I'm kind of the new sheriff in town. So let's start working on something. And I say it's going to be Strange Brew 2, and I'll be playing Dave's part.
Well, we'll go right to 3.
Yes, that's a good idea. And then we'll do the prequel to 3. That'll be 2. So, Rick, do you ever get out to L.A.?
Once in a while, not that often. I try and avoid airports. It got
sure.
nothing to do with what happened in the last couple of days. I just am not a happy traveler. I, hence the agoraphobic cowboy. I kind of like to stay in my neighborhood.
All right. So, people always do that thing with celebrities where they think every celebrity is supposed to live in the middle of Hollywood and do 3 movies a year until they OD or they have a heart attack. And once in a while, a guy just wants to live at his house, do his thing, be a civilian, spend time with his family. And everyone looks at that as a negative, like, oh, I guess he can't find anything, or I guess he's not doing, or the booze has caught up with him or whatever. I respect it. I say go out, make some hay while the sun shines, and then collect your money and go home and cut your album with your daughter's boyfriend. That's what I say. Spend time with your family. At the end of the day, when you look back on your life, don't you want to say you weren't on a movie set for your entire life? Yes?
Are you talking to me?
I am talking to you.
Sometimes
you know,
it's hard to tell.
In all honesty, I worked with a lot of different people out there through the years, and they were all so normal and so fabulously boring. It's only the magazines and the TV shows, the Entertainment Tonights of the world that make Hollywood people seem as whacked out as we're supposed to believe. Everybody I worked with was like really nice and normal. Sorry to disappoint you and your fans.
Steve Martin, not a raging lunatic.
You're quite like the little chatterbox tonight, ain't you?
Just a great, normal, fabulous guy that you want to have dinner with and you want to hang out with. And, I mean, you work with them, it's a whole other experience, but in real life, he's just like a person.
Who, what about your Bill Murrays or Dan Aykroyds? Like, come on. Who was an a-hole?
Well, neither of those two guys, and I would not tell any tales, believe me. But most people were pretty nice. I think I was more of the a-hole than
that's what I heard.
Else.
Yeah, that's what Thomas would say. That's why he said you're out and I'm in. Oh,
exactly.
Wait a minute.
Perfectly
I can't remember
fine.
How I phrased that. All right, Rick. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, and it's nice to finally meet you. I'm a fan. I like that show you did years ago on the sexy show with the doctor. I love that show.
Ah, yes, Loveline. Whatever happened to that?
I don't know. I liked it.
The Agoraphobic Cowboy. Well, you'll, nominated for a Grammy in 2006, Best Comedy Album. It is out. Where would we find that if we didn't want to leave our house, much like you don't want to leave your house? How would we go on the computer and find the Agoraphobic Cowboy?
Well, I think they're still selling them off my website, which is through a group in New York called Artishare. But it's I think if you just go to rickmoranis.com, you can get it. And also, I think Amazon, you know, has a bunch, and you know, the typical stuff, your usual way of buying things these days.
Thank you, Rick. We appreciate
Thanks for
it.
Having me, guys.
Wow, what an a-hole. Guy was out of control. I don't know if he was coked up or what.
Whew, I hope Bill Murray wasn't listening the way he badmouthed Murray.
Yeah, what he said about Aykroyd.
Look, I know these guys are under a lot of pressure, but there's no excuse for treating people that way. There just isn't. We're all human beings after all.
Uppity.
Well, that won't happen. That's
well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Composing a concerto for his daughter's boyfriend to play?
He shan't be on the show again. All right. The great Rick Moranis. We'll take ourselves a break and really move on to, well, essentially the same person, Jesse Jane and Kristen. I should say Kirsten. And do we need both? Do we need a Derek and a Dirk, for instance? Doesn't Derek sort of cover it?
Laura and Lara? Lori, Lauren,
Andrea
too many.
And Andrea.
Oh, believe me, I've been corrected many times on the Dr. Drew's wife is Susan, and my wife's best friend is Suzanne. And God forbid I swap the two. How's Susan? Suzanne? What'd I say? Oh, please. Listen, I barely know your name. People call
your
me,
first name isn't Doctor?
People call me Alan, and I'm fine with it. You understand, I received a plaque the other day that had my name misspelled on it. Do you think I told the guy who presented the plaque to me that it's not C-O-R? No. You know why? Because there's nothing he could do, and I didn't want to make him uncomfortable. And if he was going to present me with a plaque every Wednesday, eventually I would pipe up. But as I realize this will probably be the last plaque I receive from this individual, I let it go Why make him feel bad?
Yeah, it's a victimless crime.
That's right. Tara, don't call me Tara's out there. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Playboy Hotties and Yergi, Romanian porn producer, after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
This is Jessie Jane, and every time I get invited to come to the Adam Carolla Show, I end up taking off my clothes. I mean, I have opinions on stuff.
Yeah? All right, well, prove it, baby. Nude. Jessie Jane in studio. Kirsten Price, co-host of Playboy's Night Calls.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think the lack of a shirt invalidates your opinion. In fact, it enhances it.
That's right. It makes it more plausible. That's why most of the broadcast news guys work shirtless these days.
I don't know if you guys have seen
if you've seen the evening news, yeah. You see Dan Rather up there? Just a mic hanging around his bare neck.
Mad props to the hood, yo.
Wolf Blitzer often did his newscast nude.
All right. Where the heck were we? Yes, Mazel Tov, as your peoples would say on night calls. I'm going to be at the Playboy Mansion today, myself.
Really?
Are you?
I was just there on, what, Saturday?
No.
The Midsummer Night's Dream?
Oh, is that when that was?
Yeah, it was fun.
Damn.
Got drunk. Got a little...
Any celebs there?
Yeah, quite a few. Quite a few UFC fighters, Tito Ortiz, and Chuck Liddell, Jenna Jameson was there. And that's all I really care about.
You know, I've never been to the Playboy Mansion. I think it's most, like most fellas, we assume that it's utopia and it's fantastic. Does it, the girls like yourself, you don't have to say you do, but do a lot of the girls make time with some of the fellas there? Does that happen regularly, the guests? Really?
Probably. I don't. I'm a married woman, but I know.
I don't like that. Yeah, old fashioned.
But yeah, there's a lot of like cheesy guys that definitely chase you around a little bit.
But I mean, do people actually sex down?
I don't know. I know a lot of girls strip down and get in the pool. A lot.
I've been naked there.
I haven't.
Plenty of times.
I'm yet to be naked in the grotto. I think I might get pregnant, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
I don't know.
A lot of chimichan seed floating around in there. Something from as far back as the early 70s. So, well, couple of topics. Dave's got to go to the airport and do a little flying today. He's miserable about it. Jesse, you just got off a plane, right?
Yes, they threw away everything because of the whole terrorist action. What happened in Great Britain? So they threw away your makeup, your shampoo, conditioner, your perfume. You couldn't have anything to drink, not even water. And I was like, all my stuff was in my carry-on. I'm like, but I have to go. I was like, I need this stuff. And they're like, too bad.
So she stinks.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really thought about the perfume thing. Like, for me, they throw away the travel size thing, a Lavoris or something, and it costs me 99 cents. But you can spend a couple $100 on a bottle of perfume,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they throw it away, and even your makeup. And I had just bought new makeup so I could, you know.
That could be thousands of dollars in cosmetics,
and
easily.
I was just like, are you really serious? And they had these barrels of all this, like, stuff. And you see all these women that are, like, mad. And they're like, what the heck? I mean, just, it was crazy.
Well, they're making the women at the airport actually drink their own boob milk.
To make
prove that it's not off of their boob? Because I could get down with that, David.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, Jesse, you do fit the profile of a terrorist when you look at Jesse Jane. Yeah.
She keeps her ammo in
her. My ammo's in
boob
there.
Jobs. Yeah.
She's
yeah. You'll be blowing something, but not up a plane. That's
in a plane. Maybe in a plane, just not
possibly
on a plane.
In a plane, but not the plane itself. Unless it's a very long flight. What was I saying? Yes. And then Kirsten, you got to go to the UK.
Yes,
I was kidding with Dave. Want to know why you were going to the UK in a week? And I said they're opening a vagina. Got a nice laugh around the water
lunch
cooler.
With the queen.
What are you doing in the UK?
I'm going for I'm going for 3 weeks to shoot a TV show.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and I've got to come back and shoot night calls. So I'm going to come back for a day
now
and
then
fly back.
Are you doing night calls UK? Because they do have that.
No.
I like those saucy little asses over there.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing like a reality show. I'm not really supposed to talk about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Will we be able to see that show out here?
Yes.
You'll be filming in the UK, but it's not just going to be run on the BBC.
No, it airs in the US.
Okay. And we're talking yesterday about Jesse having a little fun with Tommy Lee and Kid Rock.
Dirty girl.
How did that work? And you run into Pam Anderson at the mansion every once in a while. Yes.
Uh-oh, someone's shy for once.
Is that trouble?
No. I had really good times with lots of people, and it was... Mm-hmm.
Which of those two guys did you prefer? Between the sheets.
I can answer that question.
Between the sheets?
Yes.
Tommy.
But really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was seriously phenomenal in bed. It was just a serious sex relationship for so long. I mean, we just had a good time. I just like to have sex, and I like somebody who can keep up with me, and he sure did.
She's like a little jackrabbit.
I love people who are good in bed.
You don't have what we call birth and hips. I'm surprised you were able to keep up with Tommy's magnitude.
I can keep up with anybody's magnitude. It's who can keep up with mine.
And conversely, Kid Rock was an unsatisfactory lover.
No, he was great. He was awesome. Oh my God.
Well, I don't know.
He's married now. You can tell us.
Yeah, you can do it.
No, I know. I saw that. You know, it's not a legal marriage, though. They got married in Saint-Tropez. It's not a legal marriage.
Well, now people...
But it looked like fun. Weddings. It looked like a blast. Everybody was drunk, and it looked great.
Listen, marriages on the beach, marriages on terra firma do not last more than 3 years. The ones on the beach don't last more. They're still sand in the crotch of the people that attended when the divorce papers come through.
Which hurts, by the way.
Chafes the vagina.
Who was first, Tommy? The hell was that?
Someone's getting excited.
Who was first? Was Tommy first or was Kid Rock?
Tommy.
No, see, I don't go after Tommy. Oh. That's my policy.
You don't follow.
I'm first. Yeah, we graduate up to Tommy.
It's nothing but you're just setting yourself up for shame.
Let me ask, how did things end between
Are
you
and
Kid
Adam?
Rock?
I'm finished. Thank you.
It's kind of like we were just, you know, going our separate ways, and I was having sex with a Puerto Rican man. We're still friends. I mean, he's a cool guy. Well, yeah, he was good. I wanted to try a Puerto Rican, and dude, it was great.
Yeah, I'll tell you, once you've tried a Puerto Rican man, you do not go back. Let me tell you right now.
You speak from experience, Adam?
My words to God's ears.
Adam, you like the Puerto Rican?
Yes. That's the way I roll, because they're tan and they're hairless.
And they got that accent.
He loves Mark Anthony.
Yeah, I'm a huge Mark Anthony fan. They're so... And this song, I love this song so much because it's such a great song.
It's such
you know,
an awesome
makes me
song.
Want to shake my boobs.
Yeah.
Shake them.
So, night calls on Playboy. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We have 20 pair of tickets to give away to night calls, and I would imagine it's a rowdy, mostly male crowd out in the audience there.
It's female. We get, you know, a lot of sexy females come in, and then they want to get naked, too, so it's just good for all of us.
It's a free-for-all.
Really?
Sexual free-for-all.
Yeah.
Are there hot civilian chicks
come on the show, and they're sitting there, and they're like, can I come on the show, maybe give me a guest, or sit at your bar? Mm. And they get naked. We like, okay, get topless, and they're like, okay.
They do it. They do what we say.
They do it, and they're sexy. Mm-hmm. I mean... Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Mm, you know what? Yurgi just showed up. Let me just grab him and pull him in.
He's not responding
to the part where I wave my hand and say, come in. That's meant with him turning the other direction.
We'll be back
to someone.
Hey.
All right. Yurgi.
Adam.
Hey, good to see you.
How's it going, man?
Yeah, that's Kirsten. That's Jesse Jane. I don't know.
I don't know if you guys have met. Big fan. Aww. Big fan of your work. Yeah.
Yurgi is a producer of adult films from the Ukraine. Where's he from?
Director.
Also doing some directing.
Yes.
All right. Well, say hi to the girls. We got to take a break.
Jack of all trades.
Yes. He's Romanian. He's an entrepreneur. You guys could do much worse than Yurgi.
You really could. You know, in some ways, you already have.
Oh, really?
It's true if you think about it.
Just saying. Okay.
We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back with Yurgi and our night calls gals after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
back to the Adam Carolla Show. Playboy TV's Kirsten Price and Jesse Jane.
You know, there's a lot of places that I've had sex on top of bars. I've had sex in the airport parking lot, in between cars, waiting. I've had sex in elevators and dirty alleys and just, you know.
And maybe in the Adam Carolla studio? Never mind. What's the strangest place you've ever done it? Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, give us a call. We may get to you, we may not.
When I have sex, I have it exclusively in the vagina, with one rare exception in Brusca's ear.
Brusca's ear. Me too. That's right. I dibs the right one early. Early on in our relationship.
That was awesome. You and I high-fived over his head.
Kirsten Price.
The great part is he shaves his ear hair. You know?
Jesse James.
Sinner lover.
In studio, Yergi, porn producer from the Ukraine. Yergi in here. Let's see where to start. First off, Big Tad, you were at a filming of Night Calls?
Yes,
I
was.
Taping of Night Calls?
Yes, and it was very exciting until one segment, and it stuck in my brain. It was an episode of How to Eat a Woman's. And, this guy comes out, just buff, just comes out, and these lovely ladies were talking to him, and you're like, okay, this guy's going to start eating, just having fun. And they go, how do you know the art of eating? And he gets up, pulls down his pants, and the dude has a vajayjay.
What it really was is this guy, Buck Angel, he was born a woman and lives his life as a man.
He was born a woman, yes. Means he's a chick.
He's got it.
Oh. Oh. Can't say that.
I can't.
Can you say anatomy. Well, I know. You can say clitoris, okay. Can't you?
Oh.
Yep. Yeah. Oh. All right.
That's interesting. All right.
Ding, ding, ding.
He has a large clitoris.
Yes.
Probably on some very large. Or something.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, Tad. Yeah. That's
but
it.
But I mean, the homeboy is ripped.
He was.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
the show was great until that segment, and then I just lost all
it
interest.
Ruined him.
Well, speaking of ripped, Tommy Lee, I want to get back to him. First off, Jesse, Tommy Lee, Kid Rock, any other celebrities we got to put on there? Wow, Kirsten.
Sorry.
Not very ladylike.
She's like Britney Spears.
It had to happen.
It didn't taste like
Tommy
Lee, did it?
I moved away from the microphone.
Thanks,
yes,
baby.
It did.
Did any other celebrities? Give me the celebrity rundown, please.
I don't have any more.
No.
Don't be coy.
Adam, I just want to say that it's true what Jesse said, because just before the show, we were making out, me and Jesse, and I was met with this overwhelming taste of Tommy Lee's penis.
You like that?
You enjoyed it.
You enjoyed that, Yergi?
I have to say, I was brought up a lot of troubling issues.
Line three. I want to talk to Jeremy for a second. Jeremy?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's happening, my brother?
Not much, man. How about Disneyland?
You had sex at Disneyland?
I did. I was, it was my high school graduation trip.
Your senior trip.
Senior trip.
Mine was at Disneyland too.
Right on.
I was taken by Jung Hee Lee. She's 4'1", and she's she was a Buddhist, and she's Korean, and she was in love with the Ace Man.
What?
That's the funniest picture. She's not even in the picture. You see the top of her head, and me and Goofy. But I did not get her. Where did you have sex at Disneyland?
Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse.
Yeah.
Nice.
I want to do it in a treehouse.
Yeah.
All right. That's Sears solid, Jeremy. Nice job.
Right on.
Hey, you want to go see him film Night Calls?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, they got guys with vaginas. It's awesome.
Yeah, you know where they film that too? It's at Disneyland.
Good stuff, Yergi.
New ride to the Matterhorn.
Yergi, you have some movie titles, do you not? I mean,
we're always moving new product.
I'll give you a plug. Product.
I'm not going to bog down too much. We got a great new title called Lithuanal.
Ah.
And, of course, you know, another one in the popular Vienna sausage series. This one, number 19. Great historical epic, Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah, that's good.
Wrong stuff. And then I'm getting into a little mixed race thing. This one is Montenegros. last one, kind of back to basics with pole dancing Pollocks.
Solid, straightforward. Sexy. Yeah. See, someone had sex in a church. Dan?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Sex in a church.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Gosh, I was 16 and...
And the priest was 48?
Oh!
Yes! Thank you.
It wasn't a Catholic church. It was, you know, a Christian church.
So I see.
There was no priest. No, but yeah, it was bad. I tried to get this girl forever, and I never thought I would. And yeah, I finally got her. Got her good.
Yeah, in the church.
Get her done!
Listen, I'm an atheist, but even I would not want to bend someone over a pew and look at the baby Jesus. You know what I mean? It would freak me out a little bit. A little. You know?
Yeah, it'd make you finish too fast.
Oh, no, I'm saying something else.
Oh,
wow.
It was in a restroom. You know, I mean, not
I see. You know, I understand. There's someone... Yeah, that's what I've been hearing the whole time. Paul?
Hey, this is Paul.
Where did you have sex?
Bathroom of a public library.
Mm.
My girlfriend and I took her kids in there, put them in the kids section, and slipped into the bathroom.
You're that nerd.
That's lovely.
You didn't add the librarian?
Yeah, the sexy librarian thing.
Did the librarian come in and go, shh?
The idea that the kids were just the hallway over, you know?
Honestly, that makes me sick.
That was the beautiful part of it.
And horny, though, right?
And horny.
All right.
I'm afraid I finished too fast
now. Jurgi, I know you're a producer. You're also a director. You brought some material for the girls.
I did. I want to say, too, I want these girls in Romania, if nothing else from this appearance, I want to convince you girls, give Romania a try. Growing industry. Booming economy. I mean, pornography is our third largest export behind rendered fat and slaves.
So it's climate.
Yes.
So you can do Night Calls Ukraine or something like that, right?
Yeah, you know, and Romania's advantage is like, you know, no one blowing up planes in Romania, okay? Because we don't really have jetliners.
Right.
We just have one crop duster.
My
uncle flies it, yeah. He'll take you somewhere. You make deal with him.
All right, well, they can fly you in on an old steerman, yeah.
Sure, why not?
All right, so should we do you guys have your scene in front of you?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Hey, do you mind if I fix you up a little bit?
What do you mean, fix me up?
Maybe just a little bit of lip gloss?
Well...
Logan on the airplane! Sorry. Okay.
It's true, it is a gel.
I guess it couldn't hurt.
Just like that.
Okay, I'm sorry, cut.
Right,
I want to stop scene. Can we try again with more feeling? And by this I mean you feel her.
Okay.
You feel her.
Like this?
Like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
That?
Like that. Less close.
All right.
Okay.
Why don't you spin around and let me take a look? I really like how your lip gloss fits in that back pocket.
Yeah, you like that?
Oh, yeah.
You're pretty cute, too.
The hell?
Jesse, when you go two, could you stretch it out more? Like two.
Sounds like you're taking a dump.
That's what gets me going.
He's making Jurgi hot. Talking about baby Jesus and taking a dump. This is exciting.
Baby Jesus taking dump.
You may have another movie on your hands.
There you go.
Did I just get dumped?
Well, that one writes itself.
Ironically. All right. Yeah, really stretch out the, what was the word?
Just,
two.
Ooh. Yes. I want to hear the lip gloss on your lips just smacking and dripping and making all wet. And
what's dripping down my lips?
That's it, yes.
I know you'd also like to recruit Tommy Lee.
I know. Wow,
I am fascinated with this woman right here.
He's Jessie the Jane. Holy Grail, though, is he not?
If we could get him back in Romania, oh.
Oh my God. Because he is like, I mean, every, not just Romania, every porn producer lusts after Tommy Lee. Right? He's the holy grail. I mean, tell me what it's like. I want details.
You want him?
Well, no. But just,
he wants to do it.
On a professional basis, I admire him and his huge muscular body.
He's just really good in bed. I don't know what to say. Crazy, wild, throw you any way, position, hardcore, crazy.
I love this. But listen, does he do the thing where he did in the tape where he says, "You are so effing hot. You are so effing hot. I love you so effing much." Did he do that with you?
I don't really remember the words.
It was similar to that, I'm sure.
It was similar. I mean, it was like, yeah.
Well,
like,
maybe he didn't really love you then.
No.
Because I know with Pamela Lee,
that hurts.
It was... I love you so effing much. And that's really, that just
I'm not
took
about,
to another level.
Yeah, I'm not about love. I have the whole hot and everything, okay. But I'm not a whole love.
So it's more I was effing hot.
Yeah, we had that. I just, good. You know, that's we use bad. Each other for sex.
Normally drummers aren't that articulate, but Tommy's exception to the rule. Kim?
He reminds me of the horse that used to pull my father's plow.
Yes, I understand.
Oh.
Kim?
I'm nauseous.
Hi.
What's happening? Kim, where do you say you've had sex?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Hey, I've actually had it at a bar, at the bar, not in a bar, at the bar sitting my husband. He was my boyfriend then.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting at the... He was leaning against a bar stool. We were kind of watching the concert. I went to the bathroom. I had on a little short denim skirt. I came back and I took off my panties and I had them in my hand and I just kind of handed them to him, you know, to tease him and flirt with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I leaned up against him again and felt that kind of did the trick, you know. I mean, it was like real fast.
Denim skirt, bar stool. We have a candidate for definitely not a Jew. by the way, what concert?
It was just a local venue in a Tempe bar here in Arizona. And
what was the band, just for fun?
You know, gosh, Adam, I've been married for 150 years. I have no idea. I've really been married for a long time, and it was probably back in the late 80s.
Oh, so she's old.
I am. But you know what? It was hot then, man. I have to tell you the funniest thing, though, is that, you know, when I reached behind and unzipped my husband's pants and kind of slid, you know, I picked my skirt up, and it was nobody could see. The bar was crowded. It was dark, but it was fun. And you know the 4-year-old virgin scene where the guy is done in, like, seconds?
Mm-hmm.
That was the story.
Wow.
Nice.
Did anybody know?
Wait. It was most fun. But, you know, it's one of those stories that you never get to tell your kids.
Yeah.
I've done it in the DJ booth at a club.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah. Caught, too. Yeah. But I'd, like, hid under the table and, like, I'm doing the motion.
Jesse, you had sex in a car while driving?
For the audience at home, she's making the gesture where she wiggles her hand near her mouth and then makes the lump in her cheek that goes in and out.
Yeah.
I
really did it. It's hot.
See, Don had sex in front of his girlfriend's grandmother.
Shut up.
I hope she was dead, Don.
Go to hell.
I like, that's what in the business we call that prune thing.
Oh, my God. He's on one.
Done?
That's awesome.
You guys are. Yurgi is making you a little bit hot, isn't he?
He is.
Listen, I have that effect.
It's the accent, too.
Yes. I'm in love a man with an accent.
International entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah.
Don, what happened with you having sex in front of girlfriend's grandfather or girlfriend's? Oh, grandma, yes.
We were in your basement on the couch. It was downstairs, a little cold. We had a comforter over us.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on my lap with her back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like we were watching television, I would imagine. And when we saw her grandmother coming, we stopped. But her grandmother walked over and sat on the recliner 5 feet away from us, so we were sort of stuck.
Mm.
And after 2 or 3 minutes, my girlfriend started kegeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that means squeezing her muscles.
Yeah, right.
Hold on a second. We just had maintaining my erection bleeped out.
Oh, okay.
I just want to make sure because I think that was a
mistake.
It's
only every
right?
other time that it gets bleeped out.
I see. All right, that's good. Someone here had sex at a funeral.
Oh.
Yurgi, contain yourself because this may be too much.
Oh, my God.
Doug?
Yep.
You had sex at your uncle's funeral?
I did.
With Uncle?
Little necrophilia for you.
Hmm? What happened?
I am from Wisconsin. Let's see. Well, I was probably 18 or 19, and we were at my uncle's funeral, and I brought my my first girlfriend along. I was uncontrollably in love with her and insatiably horny, of course.
Sure.
And we're in the basement area, you know, where they usually have the reception area. They got, like, coffee and soda for you to drink. Well, there's also, it looks like, I don't know, there was an office down there.
Sure.
And I don't know. We just kind of sneaked in there and closed the door.
Well, that's the way he would have wanted it.
I died. Get it on.
It's an interesting thing, but seriously, you know, death can make people pretty hot.
Yeah.
Remember 9/11, how they all the babies 9 months later.
It's true.
They were born.
Life and death.
It's yes. True. Yeah.
I giggle
even
at
yesterday
funerals.
With the big scare at, in London, a lot of activity. You know, it's not a fully consummated bombing.
I understand. Yeah, we all grieve differently.
Yeah.
Yes.
Doug.
Hey.
How old was your uncle?
He had to be in his 50s, but here you said it would make my uncle proud, right?
Yes. What did he do for a living?
I have no idea. I wasn't that close to him, which is why I was able to sneak off.
All right. I understand.
But, actually died with his pants around his ankles with the TV snowy. You know
what I mean? Oh, really?
Wait.
Yep. Heart attack, mid-stroke.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't know what the guy did for a living yet, you
he
know?
He lays pipe.
He met his demise with his pants around his ankles, having fun with himself?
Because my mom found him.
All right, no. That's a delight.
That's the kind of story you tell around Thanksgiving.
I'm guessing your mom and him didn't get along real great as children.
No, considering we hadn't seen him in maybe a week or two, and that's when we decided to go to his house.
Okay. I'm guessing he used to beat the crap out of mom when they were brother and sister way back in the day. Yes.
This could be a stretch, but was it the fact that they were burying his bones that made you think?
Yeah, that's too big a stretch.
That's a stretch.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Jurgi, I know you'll be bringing Jesse and Kirsten back with you to the Ukraine.
I'm really hoping to. Girls, listen, you know, that scene you did, it was not bad, but you come with me. I give you more energy. I make one call, we have a pound of coke on the table.
One phone call. Barrel of cocaine. All right, calls. Friday night, 6 o'clock on Playboy TV. I'll be at the Playboy Mansion with...
And listen, you come to Romania, you don't have to pay rent, you know, because I have barn in Drambovita where all my girls sleep.
I'll be there with Tom I'll be there with Tom Likas. I'll be there with Tom Likas. There we go.
That's actually also the sound he makes at funerals. He's having sex.
I'll be there this afternoon. Jurgi, God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work, Jurgi.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Always great
Kirsten,
to be here.
Jesse, always a delight.
Thanks.
We'll take
Thank
a quick
you.
Break. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. The Carolla Show tribe has gathered together for a little something we call the Friday Bitch Bag. Everyone has to put a complaint about another staffer into the bag. And when the tribe has spoken, the person with the most complaints has to read them live on the air. Who's it going to be? Let's find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
This segment would be a five if everyone here were adjusted and normal. But because we have a lot of simultaneously wounded and angry people who work here, it's a great combo. They're frail, wounded shells of human beings, but they're also rageful. At the
Shut
same
up
time.
And F my a-hole.
And
so?
Indignant. At the same time, it's great. It's like a bull made of marzipan.
And let me say once again. Then Carolla. No. First of all, yes. We don't need to relive Brusca's fixed job to screw me last week. But Carolla remains above the fray, blissfully. Doesn't submit a vote, and unlikely to ever receive a vote.
Well, I cannot type. We know about that. The other thing is I really do feel like if somebody got
some harsh words for me, it would count as so much more than if Big Tad was giving you the stink eye.
I hear your noise, but on the other hand, it is supposed to be. It's designed by its creators, the equally evil Brian and Michael Lynch.
Yeah.
To be anonymous, you see. Well, the stink shouldn't theoretically
be
on
you. I know, but they're very traceable.
Yeah.
Let's just clear the phones here with some of last break's topic. Mike?
Oh, yeah.
You had sex in a car wash?
Yeah, drive-through car wash.
Wow, I didn't even know they let you stay in the car if you do that. I thought
like the gas station ones.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, I was at dinner with my girlfriend, and we were, like, talking about, like, random places, like, to have sex and all this random stuff that, like, we had thought of, like, at a park, and like, oh, that's kind of boring, and I was like, well, my car's really dirty, and let's drive through the car wash, and so I paid the extra couple bucks to get to work, so it would take longer.
Yeah, she gave me a nice Simonizing.
Yeah, it might have been $12, probably the most I ever paid for sex.
I don't know if anyone ever knew what Simonizing was. They just said, count me in.
Yeah.
Mike?
Go back that way.
Mike?
Yeah, hello?
Sex at Soldier Field?
That's me.
Nice.
Hey, Adam, I went to Walter Reed and North Hollywood High School with you.
Paisan.
Mm. Yeah.
When did you graduate, and then how did you end up in the Windy City?
1984, I graduated.
Ah, so you were underneath me over at North Hollywood High?
Yeah, underneath you, so to speak.
So to speak. But did you know who I was?
Oh, yeah.
How did you?
Remember at Walter Reed, Walters with the Donkey Squad?
Yes, I was in the Donkey Squad. Speaking of weird places to have sex.
Exactly.
Yes, it was a different time. Not everyone got a participation trophy. Wasn't any of that BS now, that namby-pamby, everyone's a winner and there's no losers. It was like, listen, Corolla, you're retarded. Now get in the Donkey Squad with the rest of the donkeys.
I was a donkey along with you.
And he'd give minus points. And
minus points, yeah.
He'd do this one, too. You'd go, but Mr. Walters, that's 10 minus points, donkey. But Mr. Walters, that's 12 minus points, donkey. But I didn't. 14 and back to the corral. He would yell, and then I would sit there with all the other retarded students in the donkey squad. You'd be sued today if you did that as a teacher, right?
Yeah, I don't think he could get away with that today.
What? You're a goddamn disgrace!
Also, Mr. Hensley, Mr. Saponzi, those guys were mean.
Saponzi was the greatest.
Saponzi, these guys were scary guys. They'd beat the crap out of you and throw you right in the donkey squad. I'd seen them get guys in headlocks and smack them in the head and stuff.
Hey, Walter Reed was a time, wasn't it?
That was a good time. So how did you know me if you went to North Hollywood High and we were not in the same grade?
You were a popular dude.
Yes, that's why I said that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right?
Thank you, buddy. All right, so you had sex at Soldier Field. How'd that work out?
Well, I was living in Chicago in the mid-90s. And
Dick
I went
Butkus
with my...
took him.
What's that?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was living in Chicago in the mid-90s and had tickets to a game, and it was blowing and snowing, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And my gal and I went there, and we were in the stands under a blanket. And she kind of started things off and moved over and finished things off.
I'm hip because... I never thought about it. You can't do this in a dome stadium, but if you're in one of those outdoor stadiums and there's a blizzard, you're going to be bundled in a big blanket over you.
Yeah. What happens? So she sits on your lap at some point.
Exactly, and it took about a play and a half.
Yeah.
Oh.
I feel sorry for the guy next to you when you're doing that pass the hot dog thing down.
Right, not that hot dog.
I was aroused by watching Sweet. He had a wonderful rear.
He did. Tight buttocks.
Yeah, that was one of the good ones, and I thought that, 80,000 people out in the open, that was kind of good.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the largest crowds anyone's ever had sex in front of. All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks, a little walk. Yeah. Yeah, junior high, all the gym coaches, they're all hateful, angry, bald guys with big forearms and crazy facial hair, and they would beat the ass out of you as soon as they look at you.
I got dragged around a lot, too.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Hot six, would it now?
Everybody at my junior high, there's the faculty, the guys that taught PE and the guys that taught shop hated kids. It wasn't like they were lukewarm on them or neither here nor there. They hated kids' guts.
Yes.
I mean, my wood shop teacher, Mr. Martin, hated kids. Mr. Gage was the metal shop teacher. He hated kids. Mr. Gage, metal shop. Yeah, and Sapanzi and Walters and Hensley. It wasn't as if they were just sort of, fair-minded. Well, there were some kids they didn't like and then others they preferred. They hated all children. It's a strange profession. It's like being a vegetarian and working at a slaughterhouse. It's a weird way. So, of course, they were angry all day, every day, because they couldn't stand the snot-nosed 13-year-olds they had to look over.
The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
Sex in the sauna at Caesar's Palace. Sex at the USC Library. Sorry, Bri.
Oh, another library.
That's alma mater over there. Sex in the hose bed of a fire truck.
Huh.
All right, let's try this. Joe?
Yeah.
You're a fireman?
Yes, sir. Around the Fresno area, I should say.
Fantastic. That's good. Yeah, enjoy your job search tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll be sliding down another pole.
So you guys.
The good news is you're fired.
You brought her up like in that movie Backdraft?
Exactly like the movie Backdraft. She came by to drop my dinner off, and my captain and another firefighter were inside having their dinner, and I decided we should have a quickie.
Nice. Right up on top of the hose truck.
Yeah, opened up the doors and put on top of the hoses and did my thing.
Didn't in firehouses, don't they have a second floor that they could look down on you at, though?
That's only East Coast.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, West Coast is all one floor.
Well, you know what? I never thought about that, but it is kind of true as I picture the firehouse as you drive past out here. You don't get that pole thing. Mm-hmm. Or if you do, you slide into the basement, then you can't get out, and the fire just rages. Horrible idea. Yeah, we have a single, I still want the pole. But, sir, we don't have, put the pole in! Put it horizontally. We'll slide that way. All right, where were we? We're talking about, since it is Friday, time for the bitch bag. This is, I'll tell you, tension has never been higher around
here.
It's
ugly. Bruska, who's our in-house odds maker.
Which, by the way, last week I was very accurate.
Very accurate. You put yourself and Damashek at the top.
And Bruska and I tied, and so we both have immunity. But in the height of sportsmanship, I say, I don't need your stinking immunity.
You say it or you scream it, David.
Either way, the odds for this week, according to Bruska, Teresa, 2-1, Fat Tad, 3-1, Bishop, 8-1, shocking.
Wow, long odds.
Mike August, the talent booker, 10-1, Dave, a.k.a. me, the courageous one, 20-1, and so on, and so on, and so on.
All right, well, let's start with the talent. I just pray Teresa doesn't get her name on too many of these because she's a delicate flower.
I am.
Again, we have a combination here between super wounded and super frail and super angry. It's a very fine line everyone walks here. First one is for Jerron.
Shocking. Jerron 150-1 are the odds.
Yeah.
Wow, he's not here to defend himself.
Second one, Teresa.
It's a good thing I've already detached from myself and have gone. I'm in my car right now driving home, just so you know.
Well, the point is, T, when you do have your meltdown, if in fact you are at the top of the bitch bag, definitely do it on the drive home. You know, do that thing where you suffer an anguish here and then you freak out on somebody else when you get home. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's see. Oh, Bishop. Yeah, this is Brian Bishop.
There he is.
Over here.
His odds went up last week. About 20-1, Bishop?
Yes, Bruska hid behind his immunity.
Oh, I'm hiding for sure.
We got to get
I can take a week off.
It's not easy for him to hide.
This one's blank.
Open it
Mike,
up.
Look at that and try to figure out what's going on over there.
I guess who this is.
Yeah, I guess.
For being a beautiful bastard.
Oh, yes. How about that? You want to... I trumped my own courage. I put my own name in.
No, you really didn't. You didn't even write your own name on the sheet.
Oh, you made it blank?
Good job.
I didn't mean to.
I'm confused. You complimented your own appearance.
So were the listeners. Here's one.
It's me.
Good job.
This will not be confusing. Teresa Strasser.
Is anyone tabulating these?
I am writing them down.
Right.
Teresa at 2, Bishop at 1, Jerron at 1, and Dave at 1.
Here's one for Adam.
Where is he? 50-1, Adam?
Mm.
Yes, Corolla's 50-1. 0
has a vote.
vote for. Teresa.
Oh, no. Teresa at three. Several others tied at one.
Teresa.
Wow.
This is rough. This is rough. Should we enact the slaughter rule right now, or just T? How you doing?
Not good.
Don't give her a knife.
Do you want me to be honest?
If she had a weapon right now, we're all dead.
You know what? I only turn the weapon on myself. I think you know me well enough.
Brian. All right, the worst of Brian.
Bishop's got a couple.
Brian Bishop's got a pile.
Please, one more for Brian. Please.
Kyle.
What?
Kyle.
Is he even working?
I don't like tomfoolery. This stinks of tomfoolery in my book.
Uh-oh, Teresa. What's going on?
Teresa at five, Bishop at number two.
Intern Lindsay.
Intern Lindsay, a million to one shot. Yeah. That would be a huge upset.
Well, that's all of them. And this is...
A million to one shot. Speaking of shot.
Yeah, I am
one well-placed bullet away from not having to do this freaking bit ever again in my goddamn life.
You will be immune next week.
We're on vacation next week.
That's right. So you'll be back then when we reboot.
Well, emotionally, I'm never immune.
Wow,
so
Teresa.
So what's this now? I read them?
Yeah, we got to take... We'll take a break first. Let's see.
Oh, he's reading the one for Adi. Not allowed. You can't do that.
You can't do that.
You didn't win.
Cheater.
Sorry, but I don't know.
You're supposed to shred these.
I know. I have no idea who this is from, but it says, bro, you're letting Brusca ruin the show. And then it says DFG. I don't know.
Good stuff.
All right.
Did it really say that? I want to see that.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yes, it did. Yeah, all right. Teresa, why don't you have a shot of scotch or something and see if you... Whatever you do. If you do a breathing exercise, you need to go to that place, wherever it is, go there because you're going to be reading these.
And as we said last week, a lot of this is constructive criticism. And it should be a lesson learned. That's
worse.
The way I took it.
No, it got worse. You just made it worse.
What was constructive about you fixing an intern to vote for me?
That wasn't constructive. That was just good times.
Let's not live in the past.
Please don't cry. Teresa Strasser reading, let's just limit it to the five here.
It
needs to be
a
done.
A banner day in my career.
It's going to be good. Do not be pre-miserable. Who knows? There could be some good stuff on here. Could be some nice stuff. You're too thin. That could be a complaint.
Oh, I'm sure.
Nose too small. Right. News too good. You know, exactly. There's all kinds of complaints that turn out to be
You make the rest of us look bad.
Right.
Being so good.
I'm sure
could
they'll
that.
All be along those lines.
All right. We'll
see.
Take ourselves a little break. Brusca, get Tracy Metro on the phone, by the way.
Also, get the Kleenex.
I already got the paper
towels. In the drawer.
All right. We'll be back with the results of the bitch bag after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Adam Delapena from Minora Team. You're listening to the Mr. Miyagi of radio, Adam Carolla.
Yeah. I like the kid, but let's put it in the barely used heap. Thank you. Wow. Uncomfortable. I must tell you. Teresa Strasser. She had half a Prozac and a shot of brandy during the break. She's pacing the halls.
That was just to get back to neutral.
People are giving her space.
Fistful of Kleenex.
A new world's worst spaghetti western, by the way. Fistful of Kleenex.
Clint Eastwood just cries the whole movie.
I gotta say, it's new, but a record so far in the Friday bitch bag of 5 nay votes.
Oh, thanks.
Against the woman.
Thank you.
I don't make the news.
No,
I just report it.
I understand. It's going to be good for me.
We're not supposed to. Now, they're supposed to be anonymous, but I think Brusca tipped his hand by saying he only was one of the five.
I'm one of five. I never want to keep it anonymous because I'm despite what Adam says or anyone else says, I'm kind of an upfront guy. If you know the way I feel, and I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to be anonymous.
Your bosom's slightly more upfront than the rest of you.
That's right.
Brusca feels overall to be constructive. I'm not sure having everyone who works for you hate you is constructive, but I think it'll be at least interesting radio. Although I do worry the most about Teresa because she's delicate.
No, it'd be interesting radio if I drank an asbestos milkshake, too.
Yeah.
Why don't we try that?
All right.
Yeah, she is delicate, and I'm a little bit worried about that as well.
There's a very good chance of me crying. I'm not going to kid you.
At the same time, you can't be sensitive.
I hate you so much right now. You have no idea.
Let me finish what I'm saying.
I hate you.
All right, I know you do. And
not in general, just at this moment.
All right.
You're a good man, but you do bad things.
No, you can't be sensitive. It's not a bad thing. And I'm only one of five, by the way. There's four other people. I have no idea.
All right.
I'm surrounded by...
You can't be sensitive and then be insensitive to others.
All right, let's not start the fight before the crying.
But speaking of which, if anyone... What is the over-under on me crying?
I think it's dead.
It's the odds maker, Brusco.
I think it's 1-to-1.
No, it's measured in syllables. You don't get two letters
Even
into the
I
first
bet
one.
Even I $1,000 that I'm
Brusco
crying.
Or galoshes. So
all
I
right,
think
but
that
Teresa, overall, you're a very intelligent person. You've had many years of therapy under your belt.
Not enough.
More to come.
I understand you didn't have the greatest childhood, but neither did I.
Oh, no.
We got to call it off.
No, she's crying already. Look, you had a bitchy stepmom.
It's over.
We got to move on with the show.
I'm sorry, but we have to push through. She's crying. Sorry, I'm laughing.
What are you, Tom Leica? She's crying and you're laughing.
I'm laughing because it is pretty funny.
Oh, wait, was that the F word?
No, I said funny. It's funny.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, man. Rolling is staring.
I can't help it.
I actually am laughing, too.
Keep Tom queued up because we may need him as we read the first one.
Oh, I forgot.
You have to read it.
Yes. The joy is I get to read this.
Yes.
Oh, do I really have to do this?
Yes, I'm sorry, sweetie. It'll be a nice purging.
All right, hold on. I gather myself.
Dave and I had to read ours last week, and it wasn't
very
comfortable.
What did I tell you about shutting up?
It was very uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for us, but we did it.
I will snap you like a freaking twig if you speak to me again.
Why are you blaming me? It is four others. Freedom.
All right. Lynette was going to set you up with one of her friends, but if she's listening now.
Well, I think if the friend is listening, he's a
yes.
And I do want to add, Teresa is terrific. It's the reason why we hired you. But now, go ahead and read these.
It's good, Preston.
What I love is that I'll have a week off to think about how much everyone hates me in my workplace.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the first one.
She's wonderful.
After last week's bitch bag, she got in a fight with one of the people who put her name in the bag.
That's true. She did do that.
All right.
Is this one from you? Because yours are probably more evil.
Mine's much longer.
It says terrific about two dozen times in it.
By the way, new rule in Bitch Bag, you cannot seek out Brian Bishop. If someone bitches you out and you don't have to read them, you can't seek that person out. It's just gone. It's shredded. It's gone forever.
Yeah. All right. So, all right.
That one wasn't
so bad. Fair enough.
Something tells me they're getting worse.
This is over the same issue, actually.
Okay.
For shouting at Angie last week, Angie put me in the bitch bag and I called her out.
I see. So is it piggybacking? Okay.
I think she's ad-libbing. I think she's got to read word for word.
What does it say? Yes. No paraphrasing.
I don't know whose it is, but you have to read every word.
No paraphrasing.
Is this yours?
Read the whole thing.
You gotta read the whole thing. Is there barbecue sauce on it? Because that's how you know it's Brusca's.
Or Ted's.
For shouting out Angie last week, you have had shouting arguments with many people since you've been here. I have?
I don't know.
Someone thinks so.
You must continue.
This is untrue. I refuse to read this. It's filled with lies.
Please finish.
Plus those four... Oh. Dave D. Well,
is she reading every word or not?
Yeah, I'm reading it. Dave D. Jack Silver. I've never had a fight with Jack Silver in my life.
All right, Jack, what's Jack make the difference?
I really haven't, and this is weird because that's my boss. Hold on. Now it's no longer funny.
We got Jack in here. Jack, what's it?
All I know is it's fantastic radio, Ace Man.
Thanks, Jack.
Keep up the good work.
I've had two conversations with the man. Both were very pleasant. I've never had a fight with Jack Silver.
Okay.
So I don't know who wrote this, but it's filled with lies.
Okay.
All right.
Jim Brusca.
Oh, yeah. You did have a fight with me.
That's a great look. She looks good. Yes.
And Angie.
Okay.
Angie of all people. Who doesn't fight with anybody?
The rolling commentary from you.
Bro. I'm getting angry.
Braska, she needs to stay on copy. Right. You need to stay out of this.
You've managed to have big trouble with all of them. Please stop.
Okay. All right. Well, now the tears have turned to anger.
That's two down. Not so bad.
Two down.
Braska was much worse to me last week. True?
Mine hasn't been read yet.
Listen,
I guess that's true.
T, there's only nine more to go.
Uh-oh.
Teresa got 12 votes and only 10 of us work here. The tears. The tears have started.
Why does this delight you so?
It actually is funny.
That's funny. That's why. Because we, you know, the thing that's funny is we're adults and we do this for a living.
We're getting paid. We're all winners.
Yes. Oh, wait. Tracy Metro's on the phone.
Oh, no. No. No, Tracy.
Her arch nemesis.
Tracy, I will not put you on the air.
No, you have to.
No, I refuse.
No.
I cannot put you on the air to say anything about Teresa Strasser.
I am calling to give my girl support.
Tracy was going for the news job the same time Teresa was, and they had a little bit of confrontations in the past. But,
yeah,
but now Tracy's, now you're defending her. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Tracy.
You know what, honey? Don't listen to them. They're just boys.
From a woman in an orange sweater.
How did you know what I was wearing, Adam?
Because you're crazy, and crazy people always pick a color.
By the way, Tracy Metro, this is Jack, man, Jack Silver. Yeah. I got the application. I got your reel. We'll talk next week.
Oh, okay. All right, Tracy, so you're just calling to offer your support for Teresa.
I am. I felt bad for her. She was crying. You guys, you know,
understand.
You're ending the week horribly for her.
I know. It's very uncomfortable in here.
But I did just want to let you know, if she doesn't show up to work when you guys get back from vacation...
I understand. And I'm sure she respects that, Tracy. Thanks, baby doll. All right, Teresa, possibly the toughest...
I actually don't mind if Tracy comes in on Monday.
Oh.
Braska, would you like to... I will. You can remove me from my contract.
Wow, this
I don't want to remove you. I think you're terrific.
The number three's got to be...
Who wrote about me getting in a fight with Jack Silver? That's a flat-out lie. I don't mind if you have a constructive criticism, but that's a lie. Get Jack in here and he'll tell you.
I do remember that you did...
That's my boss. You can't just go writing lies
You want me to explain?
Did you
ask a question?
That?
I did not write that, but I do remember...
Well, I want whoever wrote it to come in here and face the music.
I do remember that you had an argument with Jack.
I've never had an argument with Jack.
Here's what happened. Jack made a suggestion we move the news to 6:45 instead of 7.
I didn't have an argument about it.
You
That's
got
ridiculous.
Upset, and then Jack had to call you at home to
he called me after Dave yelled at me. Your story is completely wrong. It has no basis in fact.
That's not my story, by the way. Someone else wrote that.
Well, there's a lot of gossip.
It's mathematically impossible. We have three more to go. Please, let's push forward.
Otherwise, you're cutting into your news time. So,
I'm not doing news. Here's the news. Watch CNN. It's impossible to be sympathetic to you when you talk about how early you get in and how hard you work when several of us get in earlier.
Oh, no.
And all of us stay longer. And all of us get paid much less, too.
Wow. Wow.
That seems like a good point. I didn't write that one, but it's good.
Braska, you're running commentary.
Braska is the Madden of evil.
All right, that was a kick in the groin. I got to be honest with you. That was probably the toughest of them all.
Well, you're trying to figure out who it is.
Yeah.
And why do they know how much they get paid, and why do they care? Why do people...
You should just really read these as constructive criticism instead of worrying about who it is.
People are very
petty.
Why
don't you just do your job and not worry about how much I get paid?
They're jealous, that's why.
Yeah.
Of what we have.
There you go.
All right, number four, please.
Wow.
That just says kill yourself.
No! It says insensitive and crazy.
Really?
That's the whole line?
Yeah.
That's it?
He's reading it.
Wow. Wow.
Oh.
Wow. It's cool.
I couldn't have summed it up myself better.
All right.
Oh, this will be Braska's.
This is five. Wow, this is a 10-pager. It's going to take a while. It's an actual scroll just rolled across the floor.
Dostoevsky. Oh, my God.
Volume one.
Braska wrote from me the top. A page, too. He wrote me an entire page.
Read it from the top.
I can't. It's 20. It's really long.
Well, just start reading.
Oh, no. It's really that long.
He's going to be a father.
Teresa's on my bitch bag
months.
For bad-mouthing producer Bresca.
No. Don't ad-lib it. Read from the top.
One day, Bresca told Teresa to stop saying how great her ideas were in the meetings because I was being ironic.
No. Mm-hmm. Read from the top.
Mm-hmm. There's stuff crossed out.
I crossed it out for time, but I wrote it back in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was,
okay.
Read it from the Bible.
It's literally a page long.
I'm going to read it. If you don't want to read it. Oh, no. Well, I think Teresa has been a great addition to the show on the air, and her wit and intelligence, definitely welcome additions to our show.
Oh, no. Come on, Teresa. Yes. You can't leave. You can't. You can't.
Mike Lynch
trying to block
is down. Thank goodness we have the 400-pound goalie. Fantastic.
We'll be right back.
All right. Come on now.
After these messages, we'll be right
back. You know what? I'm gonna edit this out, but I'm going to basically one of these paragraphs she needs to read, but not on the air.
Really?
But I will say this. Teresa, she's had fights with Jack Silva, Mike Dawson, and producer Angie, mm-hmm. of all people. Mm-hmm. And finally, Teresa's on my bitch bag for bad-mouthing myself behind my back. One day, Bresca told Teresa, stop saying how great her ideas were in the meetings. Mm-hmm. Like Terrell Owens, it's mm-hmm. not a likable thing to do. Mm-hmm. And after I left the room, Bresca left the room, Teresa ripped the crap out of him.
She is.
And then you went drinking with everybody, and you told every single person there, and you're our boss, and you're a total gossip. That is completely unprofessional,
Bresca.
This
is not gossip. We're talking about it in front of everybody.
Listen,
right now. Hold
on. I need to talk for something. She is the TO of white Jewish
news
people.
Yeah, I love myself. I'm always bragging about myself. Have you known me at all in the last year? I'm the most insecure person here.
I know, but in the meetings
I was clearly being ironic.
I know. In the meetings you kept saying, I'm not such a dumb broad. I'm not just a pretty face, blah, blah, blah.
I was being ironic. Do you not get that that's a joke?
Oh, listen, to be fair to Bruskett, you always is buried in his laptop and rarely hears anything that's discussed.
You have discussed. A tin ear. When I said I'm not just a pretty face, I'm obviously making a joke.
He didn't hear that, baby. Sorry.
I don't care what that
one.
Ear's made out of. I love it.
All right. Well, listen, maybe we should just take a break and regroup. Yes, Bresca?
Well,
all right.
I think she needs to read this during a commercial break, and hopefully this stuff doesn't happen again.
That'll be very,
very
positive.
I'm sorry. Who won last week?
All right, let's regroup. Teresa, remember, you're smart.
I want to finish this.
You're ripe.
I want to finish this.
Yes, okay, go ahead,
Bresca. What happened to me was wrong.
Sure, go ahead.
God.
Bresca, by the way.
Why don't you kick someone where they're down?
After you badmouth me behind my back. Bresca,
and did you not badmouth me?
Let me finish. If you're not going to read it, I have to read it.
Answer the question.
Lay down in front of the door, please.
Bresca, by the way, is the one person who always defends her in all of her arguments with staff members, which is true. You can ask anybody here. Mm-hmm. And truth be told,
I've had one argument.
Teresa wouldn't be here if I didn't push for you to get hired. However.
That's right.
I'm
and
so
that
happy
chick
I'm
wouldn't
here.
Relocate from Texas.
However,
yes, keep going.
Unfortunately for Teresa, her ripping Bresca behind his back was recorded without her knowledge.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Here's Teresa ripping Bresca.
Oh, no.
The guy who is one of the few allies.
I apologize for that.
On her show. Let's hear it.
One thing about a thankless job, but it's another thing with Bresca, because it's a sucker to me every day. Bresca! You just, humiliated me in front of a room full of people, and then he just tells Jack how to be professional. He was just like, if you say something, every time I say anything remotely interesting, he sounds shocked. Because
that's true.
Why would a woman have something funny or interesting to say?
Make me a panini!
Oh, every time I pitch anything remotely interesting, he sounds shocked. Obviously, I don't really think that. It's a ironic, sarcastic joke, you stupid idiot.
Nice.
Too bad we don't have a recording of you out drinking with everyone and they reported back to me everything you said.
Oh, boy.
That's fine. I have nothing to hide. Obviously, I'm reading the bitch on the air to you. I have nothing to hide.
Let's just start the best of at 9.
It's ironic that the person who's most sensitive about people taking shots at her and cries when it happens is too insensitive
to
other people.
Let me ask
and
a question.
And their feelings.
Did I email you
mine.
Yesterday?
And there's another problem I've had, by the way, which is...
Hold on. This is a bit. I mean, is there any point at which you're going to stop yourself?
That's one other thing. You tried to get somebody fired, by the way, this week.
That is not true.
That is very true.
That's not true.
And you
Uh-oh.
Knew nothing about the job she does or
that
what
is
she
not
does.
True at
and
all.
You have no say in whether she should be fired. No, this is true. And everyone here knows it's true. And I didn't appreciate it. It got
disagree.
Me very angry because you have no idea who this person, what she does, what she doesn't do.
All the situations, Bresca.
Yes. you did that, and it made me so mad. It was such an evil thing to do. It made me so mad, and I had to say
it. Let me just say it this about Breska in your childhood. Either
You're
your parents.
A horrible person.
I'm a horrible person.
Either they did the world's worst fired. Or the world's
I
greatest job. I can't
fired.
Figure it out.
Did
your
I not
parents,
write you an email
I want to come back and be born into your family.
So what a.
That's just awesome.
But
all
let,
right,
me, let me just say one thing.
Yes.
Did I not write you an email after I thought you had a hard day and you didn't
You've
respond?
You've written me 6 or 7 emails after you screwed up trying to do damage
no.
control.
You just had a hard day yesterday, and I said, I hope everything's okay.
Listen, I left the room, and you heard what you said.
All right.
That's
speaking,
not nice.
Speaking of damage control, this is more uncomfortable than when we got the. Lloyd to try to take the lie detector a few days ago.
Floyd Landis.
Floyd, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Floyd Landis. Could cut it with a steak knife in here. All right, I'm going to go into the men's room and stand there for 7 minutes and 22 seconds. And I'll come back. We'll figure this out. We have a Tori Wilson. Is the news out of the question, Teresa?
No, I'll do the news.
You're a professional. That's what I like about you. We don't have time for sports. Sorry, Dave. I know you're ready to go.
I'm sure I'll end up in the bitch bag for going cutting into the sports.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the very interesting news in sports after this.
Do yourself a favor. Keep listening. It's the Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. Here's a list of celebrities that are not celebrating a birthday today. Morgan Fairchild, Ed McMahon, Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong. It's not Rip Torn's birthday. Neither is it Freddie Prinze Jr.'s or communist dictator Kim Jong-il. And it's definitely not Dustin Hoffman's birthday.
Actually, it is Dustin Hoffman's birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Dustin Hoffman. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It's Morgan Fairchild's birthday, too.
Happy birthday to her.
This is uncomfortable. The argument went right through the break. No love lost between these great warriors, Teresa Strasser and Jimmy Brusket Breska. We are going to take a call in support of Teresa. Jose?
Yeah.
You want to support Teresa?
Yeah, I just wanted to let her know that I voted for her, even when there was no vote, before she had the job.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us what you love about Teresa.
I love little Jewish American princesses with potty mouths. I'm really turned on by it.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's got more wit in her little finger than Dave Damashek.
What in the hell?
All I've ever wanted to do is be able to dirty talk and moan.
Dave gets dragged into and thus beat up in every conflict.
I fully expect,
by the way, when they have those guys up on the podium talking about what's going on with Hezbollah and the Middle East, your name to be dropped. And we wouldn't be in this mess had it not been for Dave Damashek and his big nose. All right. Jose, yes, you want to say something very nice before I hang up on you about Teresa?
If she left the show, I wouldn't listen to it anymore.
Fantabulous.
Oh, thank you, Jose.
Yeah, you got it.
But it'd be a small price to pay, just losing one guy named Jose. All right. Thank you, Jose.
Let me say this.
All right.
Is Jack Silver within these walls?
Yeah, because he's right here.
I know.
What up, peeps?
There you go.
Let's go. Let's hear it. Let's have it out right now.
I would like to clear my name, as I have never once had a fight with Jack Silver. And I demand that...
T and I don't fight. She's a good listener. Let's maul Larry Curly. Let's go. Here we go. Chop, chop.
All right. Uh-huh. I know. You respect and revere the great Jack Silver.
But I've never had a fight with the man. I've had two conversations with him, both pleasant.
I know.
Breska made up things on his bitch
bag.
Did
I make this up, Dave Damashek? Did I make this up?
Have I ever had a fight with Jack Silver?
Did she not go crazy about Jack Silver after Jack left the room?
No!
Suggested we move the news to 6:45.
Am I making this up?
I was here. She did not go crazy. Look, let me say something.
To the point where Jack had a call right home. I'm not making this up.
That was a different day. You are full of lies. All right.
And
donuts.
That was a mistake. I got to be honest. Jack was cruising J-Date, and there was the wires crossed. That's why he called it home.
Adam, you were here. Did this happen or not?
I was here, and here's what happened. Whenever a boss comes into the room, and it doesn't matter where you're working or who the boss is, when Jimmy Kimmel would come into the writer's room and say, look, you guys need to start focusing more on this and do less of that, or we're going to start doing it this way, or whatever it is, and then leaves the room, well, everyone has a choice comment about what was just said. That's what Teresa did. It's a natural thing. She didn't start spazzing out. She didn't flail about.
And there was nothing personal about the comment.
He came in. He made a couple of cutting remarks about the news that weren't exactly flattering. And then when he left, he gave a so what does he know kind of comment, which is what anyone would do. I didn't find it to be out of control. She didn't raise her voice. Yes.
But what you don't know is after a couple of days, it went on for a couple of days.
No, it did not, well, Gruska. You really are lying.
I can't confirm or deny that.
I just
can say that, Gruska, you are blowing that out of proportion.
You really are.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Jack was the one that was rude on that one because
he was a little rude, and I told him that.
Okay. All right. Well, perhaps he should be included in the bitch bag.
I have no bitch with him, nor did I at the time.
All right. Hold on. Caller Brian wants to defend Teresa. Teresa?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I love Teresa. She kicks ass. And I think that I'm very overjoyed that I will never have to hear another episode of Dizzy and Schnizzy.
Yeah. That's our favorite bit, by
the way. I'm sad we won't hear that. That was a funny bit.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. All right. Well, you keep listening and supporting. All right. Now, let's put all this ugliness behind us, shall we?
Let's.
Teresa Strasser with the news.
Hard to believe, but there are worse things in the world. Turns out. More information has come to light about the terrorist attack that was foiled by the British.
Yeah.
Apparently, that plan would have brought down up to 10 planes simultaneously, all headed for U.S. cities. Reports say that the bombs were to be assembled on the planes using liquid explosives in, you know, Gatorade-type bottles mixed with electronic devices, in particular flash bulbs from disposable cameras. So far, 24 suspects arrested in England, 5 in Pakistan.
Well, I got to say, I've said it many times, if we infringe on anyone's civil liberties doing this, it is not worth it. If we intercepted one phone call or one email or one text message that we shouldn't have, then it's not worth it.
Yes, but it was British intelligence that...
Yeah.
Caught these guys.
Yeah.
Not our guys.
Well, I think there was an assist from CIA, and also Pakistanis seem to assist in that.
A friend of yours is on the phone, actually.
Oh,
Ted?
Oh, God.
Hey.
Ted, what's happening?
Teresa.
Hey.
Hi. You need me to come down there?
Yes.
You know Ted?
I've worked with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ted, was I pleasant to work with?
Yes, I found you pleasant, but I also like, you know, I also, you know, experienced Teresa Wrangler, and I know that you have to handle you with where you're a precious creature, aren't you?
Uh-oh.
This went from a compliment to not a compliment.
No, he's a producer I've worked with.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but, you know, also if you need anybody, you know, roughed up. You'll
kick Bruska's ass?
Well, yeah, I mean... Bring it on, baby. I got guys, though. No, I wouldn't do a person.
Oh, I see you're a producer. Yeah, you have your henchmen.
Exactly. I'm from Jersey. I'm from that kind of, you know, Central Jersey Sopranos area.
You get guys to do your bidding
for
you.
But, Ted, you've hired me and then rehired me on other jobs.
I would rehire you, Teresa, as well. I love you. Yeah. I do. I really do love you. That's why I was so upset and disappointed.
When Tracy Metro dropped out of that dating show, the first call he made was Teresa Strasser.
Ted, did you hear the clip of her bad-mouthing me? That wasn't very nice. I have no right to defend myself.
I was out of line. I apologize.
Penalty,
I should have done
by the
that.
Way, if you ever have anything unpleasant to say, just call me right away. Just call right to me, you know? Just get out of the building.
So, Ted, you've worked with Teresa, your producer, and you find her, you're eager to work with her, but you realize that, let's put it this way. She's like a British sports car of the 50s. Beautiful. Runs like a top, but the wiring's a little tough. Don't take it out in the rain.
Well, actually, or more like an Italian kind of fiery, kind of really dazzling, but yeah, it can run off the road sometimes.
All right,
but still a something to cherish. And
yeah, what do you want, a Taurus wagon doing your news?
Because no, you do not. You want the finest quality.
Yeah,
you
don't want some beige minivan in here.
This is the best you can get. You can't get faster.
No, I understand, but once in a while, she's got to go to the shop.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Teresa, just call me. Just call me. Just get it all out like you used to do.
Are you single, Ted?
No, I'm not, actually.
All right. Well, then we have no time for it. A lot of calls coming in and support for Teresa is now crying again. What's going on, Teresa? Why the crying now? The Italian sports car analogy? Did that get to you?
No. just imagining the next week of like how many times I'm gonna replay who said I was crazy and who's and you know.
Go home and drown yourself in booze. You don't want to think about it. Come on, baby doll.
I actually did feel really bad when I went off on Bresca. And just for the record, there were people in the room, and I knew that was unprofessional. And I wrote an email to each of the three people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologized for having done that. And I felt terrible because I was out of line. I shouldn't have spoken behind his back. just so you know, I was in the wrong, and I do feel badly. And okay. I wouldn't do that again. Apology, I felt terrible.
Apology accepted. It's all right. The other thing is what I was more mad about.
Bresca doesn't hold a grudge.
I don't.
I know.
What I really thought was interesting was that he just said he loves me.
I really do.
Oh, here's someone else who loves you, Adolfo.
Ask these people. I talk good about you all the time, continuously.
Adolfo?
Adam, how's it going?
You love Teresa?
Oh, yes. I fell in love with her last night.
You met her at the Def Rat Guys frat party last night?
I did. She was a delight. She was very nice. And Teresa, I stood right next to Bresca last night, and I can take it for you, no problem.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Adolfo.
Thank you, Adam.
All right, baby doll. Maybe we should just cut. Why are we doing on time?
Yeah. We are
doing
very late. Let's do one more story, and then, sorry, Dave, no sports.
I don't want to end up in Jimmy Kimmel's bitch bag. Go to the sports.
Yeah, why should Dave be punished and our listeners be rewarded for this bitch bag thing? I'm Dave. I mean that with no disrespect.
I understand where you're coming from.
Why should they be rewarded for this?
What do you say, sports, Bresca?
Let's do sports. Come on.
I don't give a good goddamn.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Sports! Do it, Dave.
I don't need your pity, Corolla.
Hold on. My water guy's calling in, though. You have to take that call.
Oh, the guy who brings your sparklets?
Yeah.
Dion?
Yes, and it's not sparklets, it's the A-head.
Oh, Arrowhead, sorry.
Yes, it's I. What's up?
I tell you, I love that distilled.
Hey, I want to stick up for Teresa. Teresa's a great, great girl, man. Even though she makes me do extra work all the time, I still don't mind doing it for her.
He's kidding.
All right.
Yeah, I am. I'm always kidding. I'm kidding. But she's a great gal, man. Dave, when I see you, I'm going to definitely splash you with cold water.
Yeah,
Dave, what did Dave have to do with
that? Give him a Gatorade dump.
Dave, you should be sticking up for her. You already, brought her down once. You should be on her squad.
I find it interesting that Dave has not said a word in the last 30 minutes.
I got taken down last week.
It's the best
and
day of Dave's life.
Yeah, he's enjoying this.
Yeah.
Not as much as Corolla, who cackled.
Well, it is funny.
Minutes.
I have to admit.
Listen, we all grieve differently. For me, I get uncomfortable and I laugh. You know, like when people get embarrassed, they laugh. Right.
And exactly. I cry. We're right. All different. These are all feelings.
All right, Dave.
It's time. Do it, Dave.
I'll share only this. That in baseball, Dodgers won last night in the bottom of the ninth. San Diego lost in New York. This means that the Dodgers are now a half game up in the NL West. And Barry the Creep and his pals are coming to town this weekend starting tonight. Mm-hmm. Junior Circuit, Halos, they were destroyed by the Tribe last night. Now they're on their way to Yankee Stadium.
Mm.
Even worse, though, for the Mariners, or for the Halos, I should say. Irvin Santana got hit by a line drive in the knee. He may go on the DL. If that happens, their chances of making the playoffs are out.
Teresa,
you know,
just got hit with an iron boot in the stomach. Much worse.
No. In the soul.
In the soul.
Yeah.
That's it.
Her soul was kicked with a steel-shanked boot. Wow. All right, T. Come on, baby. Now, remember, you're smart, and you've had a lot of therapy. Let's all move forward. All right. Come on, baby doll. You're an award-winning journalist.
She is. She's wonderful. That's why I'm so upset. That's why I'm so upset. I really do love Teresa. I do.
Oh,
and you, she
boy.
Knows I do.
Imagine if he hated you.
It's like junior high when you were picking teams and, you know, you were the last one standing there with your inhaler. But worse.
We gotta go to
All right, well, listen, I was in the donkey squad, as we discussed before. We all have our crosses to bear. I'll be on Lycus today, by the way, at the Playboy Mansion at about 3 o'clock. All right, so coming up, WWE's Tori Wilson coming in studio. She must be delighted to walk into this pit. We'll take a quick break. I guarantee this is going to be more painful for her than any pile driver she's taken in the ring. We'll be right back with Tori Wilson from the WWE after this.
Do yourself a favor. Keep listening. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Very hot Tori Wilson. Just entered the very uncomfortable studio. Sorry.
And really quick, I just have to do something.
Yes, take Bruskin.
Oh, yeah.
She got Bruskin in figure four. Give him the suplex,
Matt,
baby.
Thanks for being mean to Teresa.
Yeah. All right, now do it
Thank
to the
bully.
Did you hear the clip of her ripping me behind my back?
I have something else for Teresa later. Thank you, Tori.
That kind of hurt, actually.
Tori Wilson from the WWE Raw Monday nights, 9 o'clock USA Network. We were talking, more lamenting, yesterday after the show about wrestling. When we were kids and we watched wrestling when we were young, there weren't all these hot chicks like you and Stacey Keibler flying around in your underpants. We had the Iron Sheik was going at it with Sergeant Slaughter. Not inspiring for 13-year-olds who are just, you know, having their first pube pop.
Yeah, it was essentially watching Tad wrestle.
Right. And then and then once in a while, they'd have, like, the fabulous Moolah.
Hey, she's hot.
She looked like Divine. Please. Now they've smartened up and they have all these piping hot women in their underpants wrestling. I'm surprised it took this long. God bless you. The more you know.
But it does beg the question, why would a woman like you decide to go in that when that's what you were looking at growing up?
Yes, how were you inspired?
What made you want to be like Captain Lou Albano?
How awesome is it that you walk in there and people look at you and totally don't think you could kick their butt?
Yeah,
but
you
really.
You defeated Stacey Keibler?
Oh, yeah.
First ever lingerie match. Jesus Christ.
Not in any dance-off, but...
Yeah, how was it, you two? What are you, 6 foot? 5'11"?
5'9".
A lot of
you
woman.
Look tall.
Heels.
Sweet. Now, how does it work? You're going at it with Stacey Keibler in the lingerie cage match. How do you work it out? How much discussion do you have? Do we know in advance?
What are you talking about?
Well, Dave, I mean it. Dave, seriously. You
work what out?
Well, Dave,
they
I mean.
They work out. They lift weights. But they don't do that.
It's a sport, but it's also an exhibition. You understand? I mean, none
sure,
of this.
They exhibit their athletic prowess.
No, the Iron
right.
Sheik was.
Enjoyment.
He was from New Jersey. Wasn't
what
actually.
What are you talking about?
Okay. I'm sorry. Tori, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what
right?
you're talking about. The girls more than the guys. We kind of have to go through what we're going to do.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Because, see, to me, the guys would have to spend more time on it because of the scrotum sack. To me, I'd need to sit down for a couple hours of chalk talk just revolving around my scrotum. Like, look, this is the red zone here. You do not want to get near. You know what I mean? Like, it would seem like there'd be a lot of scrotal conversations. Keep the knees away, the elbows, the foreheads. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's just the golden rule. They know.
They know to
stay
away?
Stay away from that, yes.
Those guys wear cups or stuff socks down
do.
There or anything?
I don't think so.
Well, I would have an entire sock drawer stuffed down my shorts if I was going. I'm just going somewhere in underpants in front of 70,000 people. So you have just a couple socks in there.
That's why Jake the Snake carried that gigantic python with him.
That's right. All right. So you're on the cover. Is this this month's FHM?
Yes. Half naked on the cover.
Oh, what do you? Oh, you wrote, you autographed it to me.
Yeah, can you read it?
Left lane signals rule. Yes, you've heard my many rants.
Yes, I was on Loveline last night, and.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Like, sorry, I go to bed at 8:15 now. Yeah, how was that? How's Dr. Drew?
He wasn't there. It was
what?
Dr. Bruce.
Oh.
But he was great.
I've had anal sex and I passed out a couple times.
Oh,
whoa.
No.
That's out of context, sorry. Okay, good.
And how's the show holding up? I really haven't,
well,
I haven't been there, I haven't heard it.
Falling
but you wish
apart
you
without you.
Really? Good.
How's the guy who replaced Adam doing?
Actually, I really like that guy. He's
wrong answer.
He's really cool. Oh.
Really?
Doesn't compare to you.
Thank you, baby
Better.
Doll. Jack?
Yes.
Jack's an FBI agent.
Yes, I am.
And you say wrestling is fake?
You know, I grew up watching wrestling. It mm-hmm. used to be a lot of fun then. It's all fake. I mean, every little bit of it's fake.
Oh, yeah, my God. It was essentially... My heart is racing right now. Do you know how many people have had broken necks in the past year, even?
Yeah, these guys all die in their 20s.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
I would love to pit you up with even the wimpiest guy in wrestling and watch him beat the crap out of you.
No woman could ever beat a man in wrestling.
All right, Chad.
Just had Bruska in a pretty bad headlock.
I'm 0-1 against her for sure.
I got to say this. I went to wrestling camp once, and it was the worst 8 hours of my life. Yes, it's a bit. Yes, you're doing stuff, but you're still getting thrown around by super sweaty, hairy, strong guys. And yes, there is the scare that you're going to break your neck when they do the weird pile driver thing on you and screw you up.
But still fake.
All right, David. We need to take ourselves a break. Tori Wilson, hang out with us, please. WWE Raw Monday nights, and SummerSlam Sunday, August 20th, 5 p.m. We'll take a quick break live on pay-per-view, and we'll be right back after this.
Do yourself a favor. Keep listening. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Flavor Flav, and you are listening to the Adam Carolla Show, boy.
Well, Tori, more uncomfortable than any ring experience you've ever had is the Adam Carolla studio.
You deserve better.
SummerSlam, everybody. Sunday, August 20th. That's this Sunday. Yes? Pay-per-view. Do not miss it. Tori will be there representing also WWE Raw Monday nights, 9 o'clock USA. We're plumb out of time. We're going to let that... It's the longest show ever, really. What about me? That's going to be the name of my next book. I want to thank Rick Moranis and Jesse Jane and Kirsten Price and, of course, Tori Wilson, IE Coffee, for coming in and dropping off the beautiful coffee here at the Adam Carolla Show, iecoffee.com. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.